Federal Communications Commission has determined the following content to be emotionally harmful.
Funny things that you think funny aren't funny.
Give me cocks all the time. I want cocks all over me.
The Alan Cox Show kicks ass, man.
Welcome.
Show me what you got.
You're not going to see a lot of cocks on TV.
Alan Cox from the Alan Cox Show.
I don't know what it's about you, but I can't even stand your voice.
I think you're the biggest asshole alive.
It's going to be a great show.
Let's kick it. Kick it, and you'll just kick it with a tasty groove, okay? One, two, three, kick it. Kick it, come on. God damn it. Could you one time kick it? What the?
Alan Cox.
Here we go. He'll ad-lib. He'll be fine.
It's the Alan Cox Show on 100.7 WMMS.
What's going on, gang? Good afternoon. Hi there. Hello. Welcome. Welcome. Snowy day. Didn't know it was going to be like this, boy. But whatever. My name's Alan. Thanks for showing up. Welcome to all this. Say hello to Bill Squire, who's right over there.
Hey, creepy hugs, everyone. Thanks for listening to and watching this episode of the Alan Cox Show. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share a cold one with the boys.
Really cold one.
Yeah, all right.
Hey, Mary Santora is over there, too.
Hi, guys. No babies.
And one kid.
One kid.
One kid. Mare the goat out at in Carlton, PA.
Marcinek Farms.
And Pound Cakes back behind the glass.
Afternoon, white people.
Very exciting today. Boy, I mean, you know, Sam Roberts does the weather reports for us here on the show from over there at Channel 19. And she mentioned yesterday there'd be some snow. Made it sound like a little bit of a dusting. And then I'm coming into work this morning, and like the other side of the expressway, it's like a 10-car pileup. Like, wow, I didn't know that. I didn't know it was going to be like this. I thought it was just going to be like, you know, a couple of flakes, people complaining. Oh, no, I'm ready for spring. I didn't want a couple of flakes on my lawn. Like people crashing into each other, and man, what a bummer. It's snowing in Detroit, too, so the Indians are at Comerica Park. I was listening to the Tribe game a little bit in the...
Yeah, I heard the home run.
Yeah, right.
Miguel Cabrera.
Yeah, Hamilton's guy. I can't believe they're actually playing today. It's, you know, because Tito's, like, calling for a review of the home run because there's so much snow at that point in the game. They couldn't actually tell if it hit the wall or what happened, so... I just, you know, that kind of weather is going through
first
Midwest right now. I'm sure it'll be nice and sunny later on today, but for now.
And hopefully Monday.
And hopefully Monday for the home opener when the Royals will be here in town. And you'll hear that game on WMMS, of course.
First home opener I ever went to was Snowpinning Day, where they ended up calling it, but it was like a blizzard. And they were like one out away from getting the game in. It was like the sixth inning. And then they suspended play, and then they ended up having to do a makeup game. But that was a wild game to go to.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, in the time that I've been here, there have been snow on opening days, you know? And you're sitting there, it's like going to a Browns game.
Mm-hmm.
So why not?
I've never been to an opening day.
You've never been to an opening day?
In all
of Major League Baseball or Tribe game?
Tribe, well, yeah. At all in general, but definitely not Tribe. I always worked downtown. I was always a bartender, and so I never was able to go. And then the first year I could have gone, we were doing the live broadcast downtown, and then I left for Hawaii the next day. So I had to like go home and pack and stuff, and I was like so close to just scalping a ticket and going in for a few innings just to say that I went. But I had to leave at like 4 a.m. the next day. I'm like, don't do it.
Well, that's what my daughter flew down to Tampa with some friends of hers for spring break, and they were leaving out of Detroit Metro at like 4 a.m. And so I'm like, I'm texting her. I'm like, everything okay? Mm-hmm. Snow, all that stuff. She got down to Tampa. She's fine.
She can be okay.
Whatever.
How old is she?
She's 16. She'll be 17 this summer.
No parents traveling alone?
No parents, yeah. Oh, okay. Her friend, his family, asked if she wanted to go, and I was like, really? And she's like, yeah. I'm like, and they're paying for everything? She goes, yep. And
nice.
I assumed they would be driving under those circumstances. Nope, flying. Her and another girl friend of hers, and it's her guy friend's family. I'm like, sweet.
Nice.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Take a week in Tampa. whatever.
Free vacation.
So you best believe I'm going to be keeping my eyes on that Instagram feed, boy.
She knows how to hide you from her stories and everything.
Say, yeah. Only.
Yeah.
I've got all the passwords. What are you talking about?
Oh, that's good. Then you're fine.
Yes.
What a nosy
I'm
parent.
I'm a parent.
I wish my mom would.
I don't go into it all that often, but I could.
I'd make a fake Instagram and give her access to that one. They're like, wow, you don't post a lot at all. And it'd be a completely different Instagram.
Yeah, that's not really my daughter's speed, though, either.
So like, you think?
Neither. No, because her mom would be way more into it than I would. And even she doesn't put up any red flags. So it's like, yeah, I could, but like, what's the point? You know?
Gotta have that trust.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, even the way I grew up, like really Catholic, my mom was real big on privacy. So she was never in our rooms. Even if I had anything to hide, I mean, I had a shoebox full of Twinkies under my bed, but you know, my younger brothers had way more to hide in high school than I did. You know, they were drinking and all that stuff. And my mom wasn't going into our rooms and looking in our sock drawers, and you know, she was real big on privacy. So that's kind of how I grew up. I'm not a snoopy person.
Your mom made a conscious effort not to be like snoopy. A lot of parents just don't care.
A lot of parents
don't even check because they're like, whatever.
That's got to be hard though. And again, I don't have kids, but it's like I feel like that would be a hard part, is learning how to give them the right amount of like responsibility and freedom without hovering, but without being like raising feral children who do whatever they want. Like,
well, it's also despite all the jokes people will make about like you don't know what your kid's doing, you do kind of know what your kid's doing. Mm-hmm. So you know who your kid is. And so my parents were always like, "We will trust you until you give us a reason not to." And along the way, they would be given reasons not to trust us. And so we would kind of be in the doghouse for a while. You know, when I was a kid, the biggest trouble I ever got in with my parents as a kid was when I was playing with some friends and my mom had a thing up in the cupboard. I was probably 9 or 10 years old. And there was a group of kids in the neighborhood that I would play with. And my mom had a thing in the cupboard of St. Joseph Children's Aspirin. For people old enough to know what that is. Tiny little orange tablets, right? You'd give them to kids. They want to start kids as early as they can on pills. So St. Joseph Children's Aspirin. And it just tasted like orange creamsicle Tic Tacs or whatever. And so I grabbed a couple of those and I put them in a baggie and put them in my pocket. And I was playing with some friends and I took one out, and because they tasted kind of like candy. And one of my friends goes, "What are those?" And I just look at him and I go, "They're uppers." I didn't know what that meant, didn't know what they were. Well, obviously, every parent of the kids that I play with go back to my parents and go, "You know, Alan's got a plastic bag that he says is full of uppers." My parents probably didn't even know what those were. I love my parents, but they're super square. And they flipped their shrimp. And I was in the doghouse for a month over there. My mom's screaming and, you know, crying and whatever.
"You're a drug dealer."
No, it wasn't even that. They weren't worried about that.
She was embarrassed.
They knew it was maybe partly that. Yeah,
don't
but it
tell
was like
people that
it was like
is drugs.
You disappointed me. You know, one of those when you're a kid, a big deal when you disappoint your parents, you know.
Nah, my mom.
And then you get numb to it once you're an adult. Like, oh, that's just your perpetual state.
I guess, yeah. Like, I just wasn't a kid that was getting in trouble. I mean, at school I was because I was trying to make everybody laugh. That kind of trouble.
Yeah.
Class clown trouble. I wasn't like, I don't know what kids do, you know, getting high at
You were
their
testing
friends.
The boundaries.
Who knows?
I got in a lot of trouble one time, and it was in high school. I was a pretty good kid. I didn't really do anything wrong. I was like hanging out with my friends a lot, but I wasn't really into breaking rules or anything like that. And in high school, at a sleepover, we went and rolled toilet paper at a house. And the cops came. And so we were like maybe 14 or 15. And we all took off running. And like, I went to go like jump over this. I like was running through someone's backyard and I didn't see like a chicken wire like garden that they had set up. So I like face planted and lost a shoe. It was like trying to climb a fence. And I was like the last one to get into the house. And I was running so hard that I threw up. So I was like in the bathroom throwing up when the cops came to my girlfriend's house. And so, like,
that's a good diversion too.
Well, the girl's mom of the house we were staying at already didn't like me. Like, I wasn't supposed to be hanging out
with
this girl.
Now you're puking all over her toilet.
And she's like, "You were trying to get out of being in trouble, and you're blah blah blah, and every other kid was taking the fall." So she calls my mom, saying that I convinced all the girls to go rolling, and that I'm the bad influence, and I tried to hide from the cops and all that stuff. And that was like the big trouble I got in at my mom. I think I told the story of having to break up the ice in my yard with a stick. That was what that was from.
It was just, your punishment.
Yeah.
You know what that means. Get out there and break up that ice with that stick.
Actually, no, I don't
Mom, it's July. Oh, you found a loophole in my punishments.
Now that I say that, I don't think that that's what that was from because it wasn't wintertime. But either way, I got in a lot of trouble and my parents gave me that whole like, is this the first, the last time we're going to do this? Mm-hmm. This is going to be your first run-in with the cops? And I'm like, dude, we were toilet paper in a friend's house.
I just spent so much of my younger years getting spanked by my parents within an inch of my life that I was so averse to getting into trouble when I got older. I just wanted nothing to do with it. I just didn't want to be dealing with cops. So my middle brother, he was the one who, my parents got a full face of that stuff with him.
See, my parents were going through a divorce, so they had bigger fish to fry.
Yeah.
So they weren't paying attention to what we were doing at that point.
You do whatever you
want
to do.
Yeah, my older...
You could puke in whoever's house you wanted to.
My older brother got the brunt of... He was a bad kid, though. The one who's MAGA real estate now, he was bad. Like,
tracks.
Always in trouble.
Sure.
And he posted... Actually, when my dad died, he posted about it on Facebook where he remembered getting arrested for the first time at 13. And my dad picked him up...
For what?
He was like...
Public intox?
His friend had a knife or something, and they were trespassing or something like that. And
you get busted basically for showing off when you're a kid. Like, you bring a butterfly knife to school or something. And
so, I guess when my dad picked him up from the police station, my dad was like, "I'm 36 years old and I've never been arrested. What the hell is wrong with you?" And he was like, after that, I was
good
like,
for your
well,
dad.
I guess
he was never arrested.
Yeah.
Well, good for him. I've never been arrested. You know, I mean,
the fact that I've never
people
been
have
arrested.
It on their bucket list. You have
a
lived
miracle.
It. You blowing a horseshoe up your ass or something.
Alan Cox. He had angel hair pasta for lunch today. And it was totally worth all those bald little angels. 100.7 WMMS.
Call us up. 800-348-1007. 35192 if you want to send me a text. Alan, what about the opposite? Did any of you guys ever snoop around your parents' stuff when they weren't at home? See, my parents were always getting it on.
Ew.
So I never wanted to snoop in their room. As I recall, it was usually the door was always shut, whether they were in there or not. So my parents' room was like this dark sanctum that it was. I felt very strange anytime I was even in there. So they had like a master bathroom in their room.
Mm-hmm.
And so anytime I was in there, like if my mom was like, "Could you come here? Could you get me?" I'd be like, "What?" And I'd, you know, go, she'd be drying her hair or whatever. But we never went into our parents' bedroom. I never snooped around.
That's
I never
where we'd go when we were sick. Like if we were sick home from school, we'd lay in our parents' bed. And then my brother was kind of snoopy. And that, like, I didn't like that. I thought it was weird that he would do that. But he'd show me stuff that he found and... Never anything that cool.
Well, if you were a dude, you were looking for like, you know, "Oh, my dad's got a Playboy."
Right.
Mm-hmm. My dad didn't have Playboys. Kind of so, yeah.
My parents didn't sleep in the same room. So it wasn't like we were going to find anything.
But it wasn't always like that.
As long as I can remember.
As long as you can remember, your parents slept in different rooms. That'll keep a marriage happy.
Sometimes actually, yeah. My mom and my sister and I slept in what was my parents' room. And then it was weird the timing wise because my sister went to college and my older brother moved up. She had like the room in the attic, the upstairs.
You guys had a 2-story house.
Yes. So when she moved to college, my one brother moved up there. So maybe that's when they stopped sleeping together because my brothers had bunk beds. So when my one brother moved upstairs, I'm assuming my dad moved into the bottom bunk and then my older brother was on the top bunk.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And then after he moved out, like everybody just kind of moved upstairs at some point. And then my dad moved fully out of the house. He didn't just go upstairs.
Honey, there's nowhere for me to go. We have no more floors. I can't move any further up. I've got to leave the house altogether.
Right.
That was how he explained it. Daddy, are you ever coming back? If we build another story on this house, maybe I can move up and then we can all just go one level up. But until then, honey, I've got to go find my own place. Where I can Did your dad live near you guys?
No, he moved.
I remember getting as far away as possible.
Well, I just remember getting. I remember getting my divorce apartment when my wife and my kids were still in the house we lived in.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was on the air in the morning, and then I would go over to the house to see my kids because they were little. We split up when they were little. My son was 4. My daughter was like 7 months old.
Yeah.
And so I would go over there every day and play with them or whatever. So, and then I would just leave like around 5 in the afternoon and go back to my divorce apartment.
Yeah.
Start writing for the next day. And so that was like the cycle for like 6 months.
No,
until she moved back home to Michigan.
He moved in with my now stepmom. So he left.
He did.
Yeah, they had been together.
He had a place to go.
They had been together for a while, and then he left to go, and he moved in with her.
Boy, that's the way to do it, really. It's like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Have a place to land rather than you're like looking for a place. You signed a lease. You feel like a loser.
I don't know. I'd rather look for a place and have my own spot than go just like Tarzan to another relationship.
But although they ended up being. He was already in it.
Right, right. So, I mean, I'm just saying.
And they were together for 20 years after
that. Right, so it worked for him. Yeah, you know, it just that's not what I wanted to do. I did the same thing as Alan. I got my divorce apartment. I would take the kids to school in the morning, and then after work they'd come over and have dinner, and you know, we had our way of all staying in touch, but they didn't like coming to my place. So they'd come over and they'd be like, "There's nothing for us to do here." I'm like, "You guys, all you do is sit on your phone anyway," but you know, didn't say that. He's like, "Oh, I'm trying," and then, you know, we made it all work, and they were all getting older anyway.
We didn't go to my dad's house until we moved in with him. We weren't allowed. We didn't have any desire to because we were still really, really Christian at that point, and my mom had us very much so convinced
they were living in sin.
That they were living in sin and that my stepmom ruined our family, and so I wanted nothing to do with that. My dad would come over every Saturday and take us to the mall, and we'd like go have food court food and walk around and buy stuff. Every single Saturday we would do that, and then if, like, we had school stuff, he would come, but my stepmom never came to anything like that until I moved out of my mom's house when I was 16. And a real messed up thing. When my parents first split up, my mom took us to see where they lived. I don't know how she found him.
Oh, she knew where he lived.
Yeah, but I don't know how, though.
She probably knew before he even moved in where he lived.
Well, yeah, but I mean, this is like before the internet was even a thing.
Yeah, but your mom's a resourceful lady. She knows how to go down to the county records.
Yeah. She really does, though. That's
I know.
Scorned wives know exactly what to do.
That's easier for her than using the internet. She's like, oh, all you go down is the corner. The records, and you can look at everybody's house up and everything.
Well, this is this bitch lives.
A quick side story to that. Well, I'll finish this story. So my dad left when I was in sixth grade. So this was probably in seventh grade. She made us lay down in the back seat, so we couldn't see where we were going. But when we got to their apartment, she was like, "Go in and check and see if this is the last."
So she didn't want you guys to know how to get there,
right?
So you were like, you got a black bag on your head. You're trying. You're listening for train tracks. Let me see if I can recreate the trip.
Trying to count the whole taken thing. Yeah. Left, right, left, straight for a while.
I have a very special set of skills that'll help get my parents back together.
But yeah, so we did that one time, and then it was like real, where it was like, oh my gosh, that's like where my dad lives.
Yes.
You know, and then we went to school that day. She dropped us off at school afterwards, so we're just kind of like,
so that's
what,
have a great day in school.
Right. But
in the morning.
Yes,
Jesus.
In the morning. I don't know, man.
Finish your breakfast. We're gonna go see where your father lives with his whore.
Dude, I'm not even kidding. That was pretty much exactly it. But and it's funny too, because I look back on stuff like that as a grown 31-year-old woman who has been cheated on and scorned, and I'm like, I understand. Like, I totally get how that can be where your mind wants to go, you know? But side story to her being so good at investigating things, when I was like actively dating and on dating apps, I would like show her pictures of guys that I was talking to. I'd be like, oh, I have a date with this guy. Wouldn't give her a last name. I would send my little sister a screenshot of a picture of a guy. And 2 hours later, my mom would call me and be like, you know, he's been arrested for giving alcohol to underage kids. And I'm like, what? I was like, I don't even know his last name. And she was like, I do. Here's this.
You know he showed his wiener inside a Charlotte Russe, right?
She's got that subscription to the whitepages.com.
I'm sure
where
she does.
You can look people up and you see their criminal records. My friend...
It was somewhat helpful. It had to be. It saved you from doing some legwork.
I literally didn't go out with that guy after that because it was. She was like, this is like a thing that he does. And then we had a mutual friend on Facebook. I hit at my friend and like, dude's a creep. Like, he's very good looking, but he likes young girls. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, never mind then. But it's just so funny to me that...
Was his name Matt Gates?
No. Hashtag Pizza Gates.
I can barely look up if I have a parking ticket. Like county websites confuse me because I feel like they're really old and kind of archaic, and I don't know how to work them.
But they still have the information.
They still have the information. Yeah. But my mom can find out anything about anybody.
Yeah.
Immediately.
She's got a nose for news, boy.
When I started dating my boyfriend, she goes,
Your current boyfriend.
Yeah, my current boyfriend. She was like, oh, well, which part of Berea does he live in? Because there's three Brian Baileys that live in Berea. I was like, can you not for like 2 seconds? Like,
Al and I snooped in my parents' stuff one time and found a beaver pic of my mom. I stopped snooping after that.
That'll teach you.
That's what I'm saying. I knew my parents weren't doing anything like that, but I didn't want to find...
Beaver pic.
I love that term. I think beaver? That is the funniest term.
It's very funny. But it's definitely not sexy.
Instead of a like, nude?
And it's certainly not contemporary.
Yes, that's definitely like something they use in like 70s and 80s movies. Like, let me see the beaver. Like,
to get in that beef.
Ah, boy.
I feel like it makes me think of Revenge of the Nerds.
Yeah. We've got Bush.
Yeah, we've got Bush.
So gross.
I'm going to say that the next time I'm like sexting, I'm like, you want me to send you a beaver pic?
I bet literally most people would be like, you mean like they're making a dam?
Like, or a beaver?
Are you watching a nature show? It wouldn't even register that that's what you were talking about.
A beaver.
He'll get annoyed with me because I'll do funny things like that. Like, we'll be in the middle of like hot and heavy texting and I'll just be like, I'd like to have sexual intercourse with you. And he's like, why? Why do you do this? Like,
yeah, right.
I'm like, because I think it's funny.
Could we have coitus this weekend?
Yes. And I'm losing it. I think it's hilarious.
And no coitus interruptus.
Yeah, but he's got other things on his mind. And he's like, I get it. You're a comedian. Stop it.
So I think that beaver pick, that'll be really
great ass.
Add that to the arsenal.
Yeah, that's on brand for sure.
Alan Cox Show After Hours. You can always call us there. It is 216-986-8903.
Hey, Alan. It's Mike in Akron. So I'm listening to Pound Cake's podcast, and there's just one thing that absolutely killed me, and it's that in the middle of Pound Cake saying something, either him or Fancy poured a drink, and I swear, it sounded like the glass was right by the microphone. I heard the blub, 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 blub into a cup, and I'm not an audiophile. As long as it sounds okay, most of the time I'm fine. Just made my skin crawl so hard to hear the glass fill. That's it. Otherwise, fair content all the time. Have a good one. Hate the show. Bye.
What are you doing? ASMR videos over there or what? The new Pound Take podcast with his buddy Fancy is appropriately titled Tickles Your Fancy. And I think I heard that too, but I don't know. It didn't sound like anything that would drive me nuts.
And it was like one time.
I was going to say, did you pour more than one drink?
I mean, it's possible.
Was it you pouring a drink?
Maybe I poured a drink, but I think throughout the conversation, we may have poured multiple. I don't remember.
This is what it sounded like, and it didn't, you know.
Rewriting history here on the Pound Take podcast.
Yeah, I didn't know that. Okay.
Just that little thing there of pouring something into a glass. That, to me, didn't sound like something that drive me crazy.
But if you're listening in headphones...
We are listening in headphones.
Right, but I'm saying, like, if you're...
Maybe not Dave and Akron.
We also know it's coming.
Ah, yes, that's true.
So but you're listening to headphones and you hear that, you might go, ugh. Yeah.
Huh. I'll tell you what did drive me crazy.
Let me speak in less harsher terms.
Yeah, let me speak in less harsher terms, the English major over here. Let me speak to you in less harsher terms.
I was a minor, but I...
You were definitely a minor in English.
I was a minor in English, and also I was a few glasses deep.
It sounds like it. Yeah. Just from that one clip.
Hey. Let me talk to you in less harsher terms.
Bitch, you don't know about what a harsher it was. Harshness.
I like the implication there is that his English is awful because he was drunk. Except you're stone cold sober on this show, to the best of my knowledge. and it still stinks.
Well, in language terms, I'm not that bad.
In language terms, you are that bad. So anyway, the Pound Take podcast in all of its glory is up there for you. New ones there drop on Thursdays. That fancy dude's not bad on that. I know you guys know each other. I'm just saying, like, sound, you know, he doesn't sound bad on that.
No, he doesn't. And he comes prepared, and he comes in costume. I'll be posting.
Costume?
Oh, yeah. I call him fancy because...
Well, then you should be doing, like, a video cast of this, too.
Yes, but we're, like, you know, it's not the setup. Like, Bill has the lights and stuff for his podcast. I'm doing it out of a basement. Like,
no, I'm saying, like,
do it at my place. I will only charge you a reasonable amount.
Nominal fee.
Yeah. $150 an hour, man.
I'm just saying, you could do an Instagram Live as you're recording the podcast.
He uses his phone. He couldn't. He uses his phone to record the podcast.
You couldn't do both?
No.
The mic wouldn't pick up for the podcast as you were doing it on Instagram Live?
I don't think you can run both programs at the same time.
Oh, and also, if you're doing Instagram Live, then people are going to go and watch that instead of going to the podcast.
Well, no, but not everybody's going to be on. Right. You know, if you're lucky, you get 50 people.
But I mainly post. I mean, he comes in costume because I post, a promotional thing on my story. So
he'll go ahead and look at that.
People, I haven't posted it yet.
Oh, okay. So,
by the way, for people who are asking, I should, if everything works out properly, I will be doing this show tomorrow in a cape. So I will have my cape
Captain
ready.
Fun.
Yeah, Captain Fun will
He's
show
gonna
up here.
He's going to be here tomorrow.
Friday. And you know why it's going to be doubly fun?
Why?
Because it's the return of the Bill Squire Friday Get Down tomorrow, which is Mary's very excited.
I can't wait.
More excited by Captain Fun, I'd wager. But it has been on hiatus. This will be the first one of 2021. But it's very instructive for the people who listen to this show because it's the only way you know the weekend has started.
When right.
The Friday Get Down brought to you by Cleveland Whiskey.
So people have been
back on the air.
In the dark about when the weekend's been starting for 4 months, and finally
right.
they're going to know.
I mean, made even worse by the fact that it coincided with daylight saving time.
Yeah.
So not only are they already confused about when the weekend starts because there's been no Get Down, then you start moving clocks around. It's a whole thing.
You got to move your clock during daylight saving time?
I did. I moved every
move
clock
to?
I had. I put them all in a giant box. And then I purchased a sledgehammer. I dug up the concrete in the corner of my basement.
Mm-hmm.
I buried all of them.
Mm-hmm. Even the one off
Captain
the stove.
Hook?
What's that?
Even the one off the stove.
Yes.
You just peeled the clock off that.
Wow. I threw my phone in it before I sealed it back up
with
That's fresh concrete. Well,
it's a millionaire.
But you know what?
I just wish that I had remembered.
In there.
I wish I had remembered to turn the alarm off before I did it was all I...
But even with all that concrete all over it, you're still going to get a good signal because... T-Mobile.
It's absolutely correct. I'm on that T-Mobile network.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Maybe that's why I've been late to things, because I didn't move my clock.
That's why you've been late to things?
Is that what it is?
I'm
didn't know that was
you.
Part of daylight saving time.
Well, anyway... So
what have you been late to?
Nothing. I'm actually very punctual.
I was going to say, I'm like, I've never... You're not late.
No,
like,
I'm not a late
other
person.
Other than, like, the times when you are late, but you all... It's not like you come in like, hey, I'm sorry I'm late. Like, you let people know if there's something that comes up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm like, when is Mary late?
Remember, 5 minutes early is on time. If you're on time, you're late.
It's from Drumline.
It's also from my dad.
Oh.
When I was a
kid.
Did
he get it from Drumline?
Was he in Drumline?
I think my childhood precedes the movie Drumline.
Are you sure?
Yes. Well, all my clocks are buried. How can I know?
I hate you.
Hey, Aaron.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, Bill. It's Aaron.
Hi, Aaron. It's Bill.
I wanted to ask Alan about how he started getting pedicures.
Well, I made an appointment. I sat down. I put my feet in the water. And a lovely young lady started grooming my toes.
But what was it that first... gave you the idea? Was it a woman or was it you that
yeah I think
your
no I think I no I have gorgeous feet. I went
well,
with
then how come they're not on wikifeet.com?
yeah,
your guess
rating?
Is as
what's
good as my
rating?
Because I told you yesterday it's all chicks, so clearly it's a perv site. There's no guys on there. They're not really into feet. They're into women, which I am not against that, mind you, but the no guys on there, so it's not really about feet. It's about posting pics of chicks.
Is it painful?
No, absolutely not.
a pedicure? People wouldn't get them if they hurt.
Well, people subject themselves to all kinds of pain in the interest of looking better, but a pedicure is not one of them.
No, not at all.
It's not like a Brazilian wax.
One of the other things that I've been curious about recently in the same vein is getting a chiropractic adjustment or even a massage. You know,
why is this all like foreign to you? Why are you so concerned about all this?
Because it's intimate.
Oh, do you have a problem with people touching you?
Yes.
Well, then don't get any of those things. I mean, acupuncture's great. I don't know how much hooey it is, but my mom was way into that when I was growing up, so I was getting acupuncture treatments all the time. But massages are dynamite. Pedicures are great. It might be a great way to get over that concern of people touching your body, Aaron.
They're very professional.
And you've never had an issue. You've never had pain or a situation to where you told the person that was, you know, working on you, ouch, stop it.
You mean in the massage capacity?
In any capacity.
No, well, yeah, but I mean, yeah, if somebody went a little hard, I like them to really dig in when I'm getting a massage, so...
Yeah, but if you say too much pressure, they're going to...
Yeah, they ease up.
Back up, yeah. It's not at their discretion. They're not like, this is the massage I give, and if you can't handle it, you can just get out of here.
They ask you, they're like, what kind do you like? We want deep tissue, which is like when they're putting their
that
knee
hurts.
In your back.
Deep tissue is like...
Hot stone massage. Oh, man, it's the best.
So you like the pain. You appreciate it.
Well, if it's getting me to the result I want, sure. I mean, I don't go in there asking them to hurt me. But I mean, I don't need them. There's nothing worse than a massage where they're like,
they barely touch you.
Just get your fingertips in there. I'm like,
yeah,
come
where you
on,
just get,
man.
Like, tickled.
Oh God, I remember a Groupon years ago. I bought some lady was opening up a studio, and we still lived in Tremont, so it was around the corner. And I'm like, yeah, oh, it's the worst. Terrible. I said you should quit this business now.
I've never ever complained after a massage.
Now, how often do you get a pedicure?
Probably about once a month.
Really?
Yeah.
I haven't seen a dentist in 20 years.
Your teeth aren't your feet.
But also, you should go see a dentist, Aaron. Yeah. Why haven't you gone to a dentist in 20 years? You're gonna die from a tooth decay poisoning your body before you ever have to worry about a massage or an acupuncture treatment or anything like that. A, go to the dentist. Toot sweet. B... you'll probably be spending so much money on your teeth over the next couple of years, you won't be able to afford a massage or anything, so problem solved there. No, I'm team pedicure all the way. It never occurred to me, really, until, my wife was like, you should go with me, years ago. And I go, yeah, okay, dynamite.
Okay.
Big
okay.
fan.
That was the answer to the question, is how did you get introduced to the pedicure?
Yeah, I think Gwen went, we went to some place, and yeah, awesome.
Outstanding.
Hey, good luck, Aaron. Go make it a point. Seriously, go see the dentist.
Go see a dentist. Yeah.
I'm on it.
Okay. All right, thank you. There's Aaron, who is in Akron, and who... How do you not go see the dentist for 20 years?
I did that. Well, not 20 years, but after I got off my dad's insurance, I didn't go. And it was embarrassing, because my teeth were all messed up.
But did you take care of your teeth?
I still brushed them, and yeah,
I was
going
to say, I feel like, you know, I've known people that, like, don't go to the dentist, but they also don't take care of their teeth.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, you are just setting yourself up for some really, really bad stuff down the road.
I've only ever complained about one massage in my life, and I had a gift card, so it made me feel even worse complaining about it.
Because
I'm like, I didn't even pay for it. Like, I really should just shut up. But when I say this woman, it felt like she was, like... putting the lotion on my body and, like, barely touching me to rub it in.
It's the worst.
And I asked her three times, could you please apply more pressure? Could you please apply more pressure? And she was sniffling during it. So every time she was like,
oh, no.
And I went in and I'm like, listen, I've been coming here forever. I've never complained. My guy wasn't available the day that I needed to get in, yada, yada, yada. And they were like, okay, we'll make a note of it. Didn't offer to, like, pay for half of it. Didn't do anything. Didn't say, like, yeah, we'll talk to her. Like, yeah, okay, we'll make a note.
I've never gotten, like, a massage ever.
They're amazing.
And I had a gift card, too.
Jenny, you need to stop doing cocaine before your appointments come in, all right?
We had a complaint. You'd have been more into it if she was on coke.
You've never had a massage?
No.
What kind of gay man are you?
A Jesus, bad one. A guy that I was talking to.
I'm as straight as they come, and I love massages.
I don't think a massage is a gay thing or a straight thing. I think it's just a nice thing.
No, I'm just saying. I mean, for a guy who... You know, he's constantly concerned about, like, how he looks or how...
I've never been pampered, and I
For a guy who loves to be pampered by other people, how has he escaped having a massage?
I once was forced to go get a mani-pedi with these girls.
I was forced by these girls.
These girls that I worked with. And they were like, come on, it'll be fun. I was like, I'm not that type of gay. But I was that type of gay. And I was like, this is amazing.
But it's also not a gay thing.
I'm not
prone to manicures because, frankly, those are just easy to do. My hands are right here. I can snip them, file them, whatever. My feet, man, you sit there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's massage.
In the water. Oh, God.
I don't love it. I can do it every once in a while, but I don't love it.
It rubs the lotion on its skin or else it gets the hose again.
When people say radio is dead,
we disagree, but it does explain the smell. The Alan Cox Show is on 100.7 WMMS.
Or 800-348-1007, 35192 to text. You want to go to alancoxshow.com? You can watch the show live there. The brand new Pound Take podcast is up there for you. Thank you to April Falls, who is helping in the video department today. Cavaliers are back home to play the 76ers tonight at 7 o'clock. No Joel Embiid, by the way. We're going to miss him. They're really threading the needle with him. He's been out, and he will return for Philadelphia tomorrow night. So he won't be in against the Cavs tonight. He had something going on, something with his foot.
Yeah, he's been out for a while.
Yeah. But is he the main guy that's like...
Yeah, he's
the main guy, right?
Yeah, he's very good.
There you go.
I mean, also, the Cavs aren't very good, so it's like, why bring them back for the Cavs?
I'm just saying, every little bit helps for the Cavaliers.
Yeah.
So, Cavs tonight, 7 o'clock, 6:30 is when your pregame will begin. I keep thinking today is Friday. It is not. It is only Thursday. Tomorrow's Friday. The return of the Friday get down.
Oh, yeah.
So, that'll be good.
And Cape Day.
And I'll have my Captain Fun. If all goes well, Captain Fun hosting the show tomorrow in my cape. Because we don't want a Dracula cape. We want it to be like a colorful superhero
cape.
Well, what do you mean fun cape? It'll just have a color on it. But
sure.
That's fun.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not black?
It's not going to be black.
Okay.
But I didn't know if you were expecting some kind of...
tassels and
some kind of
glitter shooting
flamboyant
out of it.
Liberace type situation. It's not going to be that.
I'm excited. Are you going to host the show as Captain Fun? Only fun topics?
Well, please, no. People don't come here for fun. What are you?
You're right.
I mean,
how about frivolity?
There'll be plenty of frivolity. Okay. This is all frivolous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and none of this needs to exist.
Oh, we forgot to do that really funny April Fool's joke.
No, we didn't. Pound Cake and I switch places. Yeah. It's funny. I always get management emails. They're like, you're not planning anything for April Fools, are you? And I go, as it is not 1987, I am not. No. But they're doing their diligence, and they ask me every year. And I go, no. Because, frankly, it always seems stupid to do an April Fools joke in afternoon drive.
Yeah, everybody's
morning
on.
Shows, I get it. People are listening, they're groggy, they're barely awake. You can kind of get them when they're half paying attention. I still think they're lame, but I understand why you would do one if you were doing a morning show. Afternoons, I mean, the only people you're going to fool are really soft-headed, and it ain't that fun.
So why don't we do our April Fool's Day jokes December
on April 1st? 2nd. Oh. Speaking of Philadelphia, Joe from Philly, hello.
Yeah, what up, guys?
What's going on?
So I've had one of the worst massage experiences I've ever had at this place called Hand in Stone.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if you guys have them out there, but they're like...
This is a chain?
Yeah, it's like a franchise, like spa kind of a place.
Mm-hmm.
50 minutes go in there. I left feeling more tense than I went in. And I felt so tense that I had to go to a different massage place to get another massage on that same day. It was horrible.
Hmm.
I don't know if you guys have ever experienced something like that.
No, apparently they do have locations in Northeast Ohio. I've never been to, I haven't heard of them, and I've never been to one of those. No, so did you tell them, boy, that was not relaxing at all? Like, what was it about it? That particular person wasn't doing what you wanted them to do?
It was kind of like, I was like, you know what, my body hurts. I'm just going to get a massage. I'm like, first appointment available, whoever's up. And they're like, prefer a male, female, doesn't matter, just let it happen. It was a male. They're clearly an equal opportunity employer. So this person seemed to not have full use of hands or his whole body.
Oh, that's an interesting.
Well, wait a second.
Tire.
What do you mean they didn't have full use of their hands?
I mean, his one hand was fine. His other hand, I don't know if all of the fingers worked on the other hand.
Okay.
So like at one point I was like, yeah, a little more pressure. He's like, okay. And it just wasn't happening, and it just was like...
So it was like half of your massage was being done by a wacky wall crawler.
Yeah, and he just was spraying the oil on and then using the limp hand to kind of just, like, mush it around. It was...
I picture the scary movie Strong Hand.
Yeah, Strong Hand.
I will mush oil around your body with my limp hand.
Since I've acquired a individual masseuse, she is a nice, fine, young, older Thai lady, and I go to her basement at her house, and her white savior husband's upstairs.
Does she walk on your back?
Sort of.
I like the walking on the back.
Yeah, it's legit Thai massage.
Yeah.
She will, like, bend, kind of like do a back bend, have her knees like in my lower back.
Oh, it's the best.
If you ever had a legit Thai massage, you will never go back. I mean, you don't end in an HJ or anything like that.
Right. No, I know what you mean. The last one of those I've had was in Denver. Last time we were in Denver, we just got one. Massages are one of the, thank you, Joe. Good luck out there. Massages are one of those things where every time I get one, I go, why do I not have a standing appointment for this?
Dude,
why am I not getting these weekly?
I had in college, because I had like three jobs and no bills in college, I had a monthly membership at a massage place, and it was amazing. And I mean, since obviously acquiring more debt, I have had to cancel things like that and take that out of my budget.
But when you pay that car off.
When I pay that car off. Oh, great idea. Because it's only like $60 a month or something like that.
Treat yourself.
Seriously. And because it just comes out of your bank account every month. So it's like a discounted rate. And then you get one per month and you can schedule as many as you want. But in a similar notion to what Joe was talking about, one time it was probably 2014 or 15. I had a day off work. And I was like out running errands, and I drove past a place that just said like massage. And I was like, oh, I'm going to go in and see if they have an appointment. Why not? I have a day off.
Mm-hmm.
And they did. And I went in, and the lady kept leaving the room. And every time she'd come back in, she'd tell me how soft my skin was. Yeah. And then she would like massage me for 10 more minutes and then like go leave the room again. But she never.
She was
like,
measuring her lampshades.
I didn't know what she was doing. It freaked me out so much. And then she asked me if I wanted another 30 minutes for free. And I was like, no, I've got somewhere to. I had nowhere to be, but I was like so freaked out because she didn't come in with like more lotion or a towel or anything like that. She just kept leaving the room for a couple minutes and then coming back in. I'm like, who is she reporting to about my skin? Like, what is going on? What, are they going to steal it? I mean,
I've got the epidermis police coming here, ma'am, in 15 minutes. Just stay where you are.
Real creepy.
Huh.
That's why I don't...
No, I'm always like, I need to find a person who I go to every week.
Yeah.
I need, like, a person.
How much would it be for house calls? Because I hear they're pretty reasonable. Like, I'm not a massage guy, like I told you, but people who do them, like, as a private practice, they make a pretty penny just carrying around their bed.
Sure.
And
but I don't want somebody coming to my house. I'm happy to come to you.
I've done the house call thing. I don't mind it.
But is it more expensive or
probably.
Not?
Yeah, usually.
If the thing that I had, they haven't met
any... Because you're paying for their gas.
That's why I don't.
Yeah, but then they don't have to pay. Like, if they're doing it like that, and that's how they primarily operate, then they're not paying for a space. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it is pretty much the same. I think.
If you go to like a any chain, like a Massage Envy or anything like that, it's like $60 a month for an hour massage, and then it just comes automatically drafted out of your bank account, and then you get one a month, and you can schedule as many as you want. You can get them every day if you want, but it's like just a discounted rate.
I have a friend that's a masseuse, and he's trying to build up his clientele. Maybe
he's a masseur then.
Masseur.
Do you hear about, you know, who loves massages is Deshaun Watson.
Well, that's why I was talking. That's why I was thinking in my head. I'm saying as something as intimate as that, I'm sure these women, you know, you have to have a pretty thick skin. He had to be a real dirt bag to be like, all right.
He just kept asking to have his anus massaged.
Like, that's what I'm saying. I'm sure these people like probably get jokes all the time. Like, no happy endings. Ha ha ha. But he is like, he really assaulted these people, not asking or telling.
And there's a lot you can do in between happy endings and just regular everyday massage, too.
And it was like more than once. So he was making his rounds because these women were so traumatized. Like, no, I'm not working with him anymore. He's a creep. He's like, okay.
There are 21 lawsuits against Deshaun Watson.
But when I reported
indecent
on it.
Indecent conduct and sexual assault during massage sessions.
And that was last Here's week I reported
And the
on
thing
it.
Is, you can find someone who will do those things without having to assault 21 women
or
in that
free.
Way. Just find one who will do it and go to her all the time.
Like groupies.
I know this is a pathology. And people want different people and they want to force them to do stuff, but still, groping massage therapists and, you know, you don't have to do that. Watson's attorney, Rusty Hardon, released a statement that included signed statements from 18 women who are professional massage therapists and have worked with Deshaun Watson. He's with Houston?
Yeah, but he wants out of Houston, and I think it's a little bit weird.
The timing is strange.
That he says he wants out of Houston, and then all these lawsuits pop up. Because Houston doesn't want to get rid of him.
Extortion!
So I don't know what's going on there. I'm not saying he didn't do these things, but I feel like this is something that they did. Oh, they're like, well, we'll show you what we were doing for you. We were keeping all these ladies quiet. And now that you don't want to be on this team anymore, well, we're going to let them do what they do. We're going to let them tell their stories.
You think so?
I don't know. I don't know for sure, but it seems a little bit sketchy, doesn't it?
But it was like 2 years at these, like, why would...
Right, but the stories come out as he's trying to get out of... Get away from this
team. But maybe that's why he was trying to get out of state, because he knew
Again, I'm not saying he's innocent or anything like that.
Same reason why Matt Gaetz was talking about going to Newsmax.
He's trying to beat the clock.
Yeah,
he probably knew these women. He was like, I've been around here for too long. The block is getting too hot. I pretty much assaulted every masseur in town.
I obviously, I'm not talking about assault, but when I got fired in Pittsburgh, in my mind, I was like, it's probably time I get out of here, because I couldn't go around the corner without running into somebody I dated or whatever. It was like bad news. So
there's a bunch of massage therapists that are defending you and saying that he was nothing but professional during it, too. So I don't know.
Well, those are probably the anus massagers, Bill. Those are the people who are happy to get all up in there in his sting ring and, you know, do something for him.
I had a friend who went and got a massage, and I think that she had met the guy, the masseur, one time before at like a bar or something, and he was like, oh, that's what I do, a massage therapist, she should come get a massage, and she did, and they hooked up, and now they're married. So yeah. I'm like, it does happen.
But see, I don't, the transition of that, like, just, I don't want to make the first move.
I could never do that.
Yeah, because I'm
like,
always too
like
paranoid.
Force the hand down. I could
well,
never
I mean,
do
it
that.
It could be something as easy as like,
Deshaun Watson did.
Well, yeah, that is not okay. But like, I feel like it's something as simple as like lifting a leg or something, or like pulling the sheet up.
Also 100 times easier for a girl to make that lift the leg thing.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know which one of them made the first move, but they had met like once or twice before that. She went and got a massage. And now, I mean, now they're very happily married.
Ask, because I'm curious about that, because just like workplace relations, like say I was straight and you were single and I was into you. I wouldn't know, but like I can say stuff here in a joking manner, and we're on the show, ha ha. But in the hallway, I'm like, you know, Mayor, I really think you're a bad bitch. And I really would
That's
like
how
to,
straight guys hit on women. Too.
I would not know.
I'm taking notes.
What's professional?
Or contemporaneous like, notes over here.
You're a bad bitch.
We're in a Me Too era, and I would not know where to.
Do you just not know how to flirt?
Not with work people. I've never dated someone I worked with before. No.
Hmm.
No.
I don't know
if it's not recommended. Yeah.
Well, let me teach you how to flirt with work people. Well, not a class you need.
I met my ex. We worked together. But I feel like I've always been a flirty person to begin with.
But also, working in a restaurant is, I think, different.
It's a more flirty environment.
It's a flirty people environment. And also, you're on a weird schedule. So those are the only people you really see.
Yeah.
I've never slept with anybody.
That's your whole social circle.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never slept with anybody I worked with. And, like, at my morning job, there was a person that came through to interview one time, and they're like, you can shadow Cody. And I was like, he's a Grindr hookup. Like, I hooked up with him. I had nudes of him on my phone. I was like, I didn't say anything, but I was like, this can't work. He looked at me. I looked at him. I'm like, and then all of a sudden, he just didn't want the job. I was like, oh great.
I married someone I worked with.
Well, I'm not saying that a restaurant isn't a professional setting, but I think dating someone in an office setting is very different than dating another bartender.
Yeah, because there's an HR department, and there's desks, and there's conference rooms and things.
You have those things too, but it very much, it's way more relaxed. You're like right next to the person the whole time, and like that kind of stuff, where it's not like,
but like if
there's
I'm at
other people, I don't know.
And you're in the kitchen, and you're sweating.
Good point.
Making out in the
only weirdos that work in this business will end up with somebody. Like, you know, I don't want to name names, but maybe like the midday guy here, you know, ends up married to someone.
I'm just saying, like,
is that all on the up and up, Jason?
It would just be weird.
Everybody knows they're married.
It would just be weird being at the coffee machine and then like the person behind me, I'm like, I seen you naked. Like, I don't want work people seeing my old face.
Well, it's weird. Also. I mean, it's
yeah,
the
but
same,
you're a grown up. Like, who cares?
It's the same reason why I don't really mess with comics is because it's like, if you don't plan on being with them for a long time, and it eventually is going to go wrong, and then you have to see them all the time.
Oh,
so it's like,
oh,
pick and choose kind of, where it's like, is this person worth the awkwardness if we don't continue to see each other?
Yeah, I've only hooked up with one other comic, tell you what, that Mike Polk, gentle
you know what? He likes a light touch.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. But it is awkward whenever we're getting coffee together.
I thought you liked extra foam. Not anymore.
You've changed.
Now, friends of people that I've worked with, I've hooked up with.
Yeah, because you might have to see them.
I know, but then they ask me, they're like, I heard about you. Like the people that I work with, they're like, I heard about you. So-and-so told me all about it. I'm like, okay, we'll see. I'm glad he doesn't work here.
I just looked at it like when you're younger, your girlfriend is somebody you go to school with. Because that's who you see every day.
Yeah, but it's different.
Well, I know. You're not an adult. You can't go to jail for anything. But still,
well,
it's like,
I mean, you're also not doing the same things at 17, at 29.
Speak for yourself. I'm very emotionally stunted. Again, it's not recommended. And a lot of companies have non-fraternization policies where
you
can't do it, you know? But,
because it does. It just makes things awkward, and then you're like, oh, come on, I got to change my schedule around.
I think it's only awkward if the two people make it awkward. If you're grown-ups.
Or if it doesn't end well.
Well, even that. Most things don't end well. So if you're a grown-up, whatever.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Or they just don't text back, and you're cool. Like, I got to see you Monday.
I have some not end wells that we still get along. We're pals.
You just figure it out.
But what if they're like your supervisor then?
No business place is. There's no place of business where someone in a position of authority is, that's always frowned upon.
But that happens all
the
time.
It does, but you can both get fired. Mm-hmm. It's a whole thing. Like, that's not even something that's, like, good to
I always thought that was, like, okay, as long as you're not, like.
No. Because then they start giving you special treatment and all kinds. No, that's like, I don't know that there's ever a place of business that is like, yeah, sure, date your boss. Totally cool, you know? It's just sticky. It's messy. Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
What if you're a part owner of a company and you're just like
still
never
the
there?
Boss.
When I first came to Cleveland, I wanted them to hire Gwen as my producer because she had come from the Jerry Springer show.
Yeah.
And she, you know, she had like full on legit experience and they were like, can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Because she would be your subordinate.
Yeah.
We weren't married, but they're like, we can't. You know, Jason and his wife, he's not her boss.
I know.
You know
sorry,
yeah.
sorry.
Right. So that's like a different situation.
There are people that work together that actually, you know, did it on the.
We've had people here who were married and worked together. They're just not, one's not the other one's boss.
Well, Rover,
we've had married salespeople and. You
yeah,
know.
Rover and Deuce used to date. And I mean, that was a whole thing. But that made it hard for them at one point in their career, but I think they've gotten past it for the most part.
I don't know that I'm mature enough for that, to be 100%
honest. Oh my God,
who'd
want to do a show with their ex for like a decade? No thanks.
I mean, in general. Like if I was...
It's like being in Fleetwood Mac.
Right!
Yeah, but then you're in Fleetwood Mac, so, you know.
Yeah, well, none of us are in Fleetwood Mac.
Are you trying to make us all uncomfortable? Gross, it's weird, it's not right, it's not cool.
And there's plenty more where that came from. Back to the Alan Cox Show on 100.7 WMMS.
Another chance for you to double your stimulus. Coming up at 3:30, $1,400. So listen for the keyword. Today's Devo Day down in Akron.
Yeah.
Snowy day, of course, but if you have a yellow vinyl jumpsuit you can get into, put a little plastic hat on or something. They're up for the, they're nominated in the Rock Hall, yeah?
Yes,
aren't they on the list there? They're just outside the five top vote getters. But they're nominated for the inclusion in the class of 2021. Tina Turner back. She's been flip-flopping with Fela Kuti over the top two spots there. But Tina Turner's sitting atop the fan vote leaderboard with about 382,000 votes. The Go-Go's, Iron Maiden, Foo Fighters rounding out the five there.
Say it correctly, please.
Foo Fighters!
Thank you.
And then Carole King, Todd Rundgren, and Devo are the first three out of the... top five fan vote there, and so, but again, the top vote getter among the fans just gets one extra ballot, I think is my understanding. So it's kind of more flash than substance, but again, you can vote every day, and if you're a Devo fan, they are local favorites, of course. I like that song a lot. Soundgarden covered that 30 years ago. It was the B-side of Rusty Cage. Did you ever hear them do Girl You Want? Yeah.
I don't think so.
Chris Cornell made everything better. So
he was so good at singing, and just but like, and it's so natural too. And it sounds, you know, some people when they sing, they don't sound like themselves. Like he could go from a conversation into singing, and it just it's smooth.
Mm-hmm.
And they could hit all the notes. He was just incredible
and an amazing songwriter. Yeah. Like his lyric, you know, he wrote the lyrics, and yeah, man, what a loss. Sucks. Anywho, Devo Day in Akron today. So. They are, of course, one of the 16 nominees in this year in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Josh Freese, one of my favorite session drummers, has played with Devo on a number of occasions, kind of in and out of that band. October 30th, Halloween Eve, is when the induction ceremony is going to take place at the Romo Fijo. They moved it from Public Hall. They made a big announcement about that about a month ago. That they're going to be setting up shop at the Romo Fijo for
now,
the Rock Hall inductions.
Hold on.
Lay it on me.
October 30th.
Yeah.
We'll be in our downtown studio.
There will.
What celebrity is going to put their butt against our window?
Whichever one wants to.
Which Rock Hall inductee will bless us with the booty?
I mean, we have to find out who gets in, but I would hope Tina Turner.
She's not even going to show up. She's living in Switzerland. She is retired from performing. Maybe she would show up. What do I know? Maybe she would show up.
It's a big deal.
Is it? If you're 80, you're Tina Turner, you've done everything you wanted to do, your career is set in stone, your legacy is intact, you know.
Yeah, maybe you want to have a fun night in Cleveland.
Yeah,
I mean, she's got family here. That's what that guy said. So maybe, I'm just wondering if it is the kind of, you know, you got people complaining they don't want to come from New York or L.A. for this thing. Mm-hmm. Is she going to come from Switzerland?
I say she will.
She wants to show us her boobies.
I'd love to see her there. But I don't care who gets inducted. Anyone nominated can put their ass up on our studio window when we're downtown.
Yeah.
So if Mark Mothersbaugh wants to run up and slap a quick fruit basket up on the studio window.
We'll outline it.
Whatever. That's fine with me. Sure.
We'll outline it in Sharpie, and then they can sign it.
Yes. I want to start destroying that studio as soon as we move in there. I want to have people sign the wall and, you know. Alan, it's not a signable wall. I don't care.
We'll make it
a signable wall. We'll get a big whiteboard up there or something. We'll have them sign the video monitors.
Yeah, there you go.
So after a year, you won't even see the picture anymore.
With a hammer.
Right. So, yeah, I don't know. Something to consider. But whoever wants to get up there.
Just putting it out into the universe, you know.
I understand. We have 182 days, 8 hours, 37 minutes, and 11 seconds until we're in our brand new palatial downtown studios, provided that we got an email that they started the demolition last week, and they slap these studios together these days.
Yeah, because they're so minimalistic. So
sure,
I think the thing that takes the longest is just all the wiring, and a lot of that wiring is you don't need as much now because you have so much wireless stuff.
That's right.
So it's cool.
Bears fans are not amused with Russell Wilson's April Fool's Day prank. Yeah.
He posted he was going to the Bears or something?
Yes.
That's funny.
Bears trading for Russell Wilson. Breaking news. People, of course, that's not cool is what... that's one of the more measured responses.
Not cool, man.
The Windy City just got dangerous. See what they did? Dangerous.
Why would they even need Russell Wilson when they got Andy Dalton? Didn't they get Andy Dalton? Didn't you get Andy Dalton?
Yeah, got Andy Dalton.
You guys are all set then.
Yeah, we're just the Red Rocket. Fine. Just fine. I think I'd rather see Sierra running around downtown than... But I don't even live there. I'm not going to see her running around.
The Hyperloop's not done.
Come on, man.
I don't care.
Alan, it's inexcusable that Iron Maiden is not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Listen, I agree. But there are a lot of bands that are not. Listen, I can't believe that Robin Trower is not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I'm a huge Robin Trower fan. And a lot of people don't even know who he is. But if you're a guitar player, I hope that you know who he is. This is a guy, there's a band called Procol Harum way back in the day. He was in there for a cup of coffee. But he had most of his success as solo. He had a huge song called Bridge of Sighs really early on. And then, you know, you had to kind of stick with him. But he was more of a lot of those English guitarists were coming more out of the blues tradition than rock and roll, and you know. But he was playing with the Beatles, and he was doing stuff with the Stones, and he was selling out stadiums as a solo artist. But he never became a household name. I'm a big fan of his, and he remains not inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Is a Bridge of Sighs, S-I-G-H-S?
S-I-G, not S-I-Z-E, if that's what you're thinking
about.
S-I-G-H-S.
See, you just go... That was what all the music
was. How am I going to walk across this?
Oh, man.
Yeah. So, I'm a big Robin Trower fan. So, everybody's got, you know, those personal, emotional attachments to artists that might not be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. But Robin Trower was a guy early on who they were comparing him to Eric Clapton and, you know, all these other people. There were no shortage of talented guitarists in England. And he kind of had a Jimi Hendrix vibe to him, too. But he never became a household name. It was very trippy, though. I mean, it was early 70s.
Sounds like a wind chime.
It probably was wind chimes. Yes. So, I mean, he got himself, you know, for a while he would... People weren't paying attention to what he was doing, and then he got a little bit of radio play in the 80s, and then he kind of went back to doing his own thing, and so it was always very back and forth. But he's still putting out albums. Robin Trower Band has been putting out albums since the mid-70s. There's always a lot of great power chords and
I like this.
Bluesy stuff. Yeah, dynamite. But he's not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And he should be. This was April of 1974.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
The sun don't shine. The moon don't move. The time's too much weekly.
He was not the singer. I don't think he ever sang in his band. He'd get other guys to sing, but he was the guy playing the guitar. And he was playing stadiums. But then, you know, people just stopped paying attention to him. He did some stuff with Jack Bruce, who was in Cream. Did one album with Jack Bruce and a guy who's a guy named Bill Lorden. And they called their album BLT because those were their initials. But I don't know that helped album sales at all. Of their, you know,
it's a new BLT album.
I want a BLT now.
Doesn't that sound good?
Last time you had a BLT.
BLTs are one of those things I forget about.
Yes.
And then once in a while, we'll be like, we're having BLTs tonight.
That sounds so good.
Well, we have BSTs, but I mean, still, they're so good.
Spinach,
yeah. So good, though. It's delicious.
How about I'm going to do avocado instead of mayo? That
okay.
would be good.
All right. That's fine, too.
Balt.
I'd like a Balt over here, please. Yeah. Hey, Rick.
So, the song Bridge of Sighs, the album?
Yeah.
The Bridge of Sighs is in Venice.
Yes.
And the guilty party, after their conviction, would walk across the Bridge of Sighs to their death, where they would cut their heads off.
Ooh.
It's called the Bridge of Sighs. This is the song about.
Oh, I see. He was singing a song about people getting decapitated.
Yeah. It was in Venice.
By St. Mark's Basilica.
There. The Bridge of Sighs is still there.
Still there.
Today.
All
That's
right.
pretty
well,
cool.
Yeah, I like that.
Wanted to tell you.
Have you been, Rick?
No, but he's definitely one of my favorite guitar players.
Because there's also, stateside, there's like a natural arch in the Grand Canyon that they also call the Bridge of Sighs. So I wasn't sure, frankly, which one he was singing about.
Oh, no, I did not know that.
Well, see, Rick and I just made each other a little smarter today.
Oh, good job.
Look at that,
right?
What
are you here for?
There you go.
I'm glad I tuned in today.
There you go. Thank you, Rick. Some days it's just an effort in futility, isn't it?
Yeah.
But other days you might get something good out of it. Who knows?
I'm curious. Do you think Poundcake knows who we're talking about?
He does not. But a lot of
people
don't know who we're talking about.
But not like before today, but like could he name the person that we're talking about right now?
What do you mean?
You said his name.
Was he paying attention to what I said? No.
No.
Rich. He also was answering the phone too, though.
He answered a call.
Well, that's why when he called, he was like the band. I was like, what band?
See, he's not listening. When I'm talking, he's not listening. I don't know what he's doing. He's not listening to me. So no, I'm not even going to hold you to that. You don't know the name of the person I've been talking about for 5 minutes, do you?
No.
If you listen to the show on iHeartRadio, tell me where you do that. If it's from out of state, we have a number of bureau chiefs in the great state of New Mexico. We have Lori. In Albuquerque, we got a guy named Wally who listens in Albuquerque. You got to have a guy named Wally in Albuquerque. We have Doug in Carlsbad, New Mexico. We have Jimbo in Alamogordo.
Do you think everything would have ended up the same way if he went by Wally White instead of Walter White?
I am the one who knocks, and when they say, who is it, I say, Wally. Wally White. I think he was a Green Lantern. Between 1965 and 1969.
No, there was a Flash that was Wally...
Wilson.
Close. It was what was his name? Wally... It's the animated series one.
Wally West,
that's it. Yeah, Wally West.
But all of those people that I just mentioned, our bureau chiefs in the great state of New Mexico, are staring down the barrel of legalized recreational marijuana.
Nice.
New Mexico is joining the states They're going to legalize recreational pot.
Are we got to be past? Are we past the halfway point yet?
Of what?
Of states that have it legalized recreationally?
I don't think so. No, I don't think we do. We are. And again, New Mexico is one of these states that, you know, in the mid-90s, they were like, hey, maybe we could do this. Because remember Gary Johnson? Mm-hmm. Remember that guy that ran for president?
What is Aleppo?
Right. He got tripped up on Aleppo. But he was the governor, and he was very pro-pot. Gary Johnson, whatever you thought of him, he was pretty progressive for a governor in the mid-90s. I think Bill Richardson was the governor of New Mexico for a little while. And, you know, so they've had a, you know, New York just legalized marijuana, and they're expunging pot convictions.
So all those people are getting out of prison?
I think. I don't know if they're letting... I don't know how that's working out, but I was reading that they're legalizing pot, and they're removing nonviolent offenses from people's records. So I can only imagine that if they're in there for that, that they would get out.
If, I mean, as Biden is progressive as you guys say Biden... Well, not you guys, but as progressive as people think Biden is... He still doesn't approve of legalizing pot federally, so...
Yeah, that's a real misstep for him. They were talking about firing people that had smoked pot or something like that.
Right.
Like, that's a big misstep, because that's definitely not... That's not even the way the states are going. So I thought that was a real weird move.
And that's like a unifying thing. Like, people on both sides are like, yeah, legalize marijuana.
Yeah, I thought that was very strange.
Not the legislators, though.
I don't know if that got...
Well, because the legislators are playing to their religious... constituents. They're not playing to, like, there's
but
a
even,
lot of...
But even the religious constituents now, when they see what kind of money these states are making, money is the answer to everything. So, you know, it's
that's
not
what
even...
Jesus said.
That's right. It's not even really... Marijuana's not even controversial anymore. I think there are some people who are trying to block its legalization, perhaps out of spite, but it's not like the electorate is against marijuana legalization. Because it started with senior citizens. When grandma started smoking pot for her glaucoma, that's when that whole wave started.
Because they're like, this is cool.
This is great.
I feel nice.
Yeah. Hey, Kane.
Yo.
What's going on?
Nothing much. How are you?
I'm good, man.
Well, I called in to ask you a question, and after hearing everything you guys are saying, there was no Wally Green Lantern. It's only been... Hal Jordan, John Stewart, Guy Gardner, Kyle Rayner, and Simon Baez, and some chick. I forgot her name. But,
Nerd alert! Nerd alert! Nerd alert!
Okay. What are your thoughts on Sinestro?
He was a Green Lantern, but now he's the leader of the Yellow Lantern, the Sinestro Corps.
Or Corps. Jessica Cruz was your female Green Lantern.
Oh, yeah, that's right. The one with an all that anxiety. But how do you feel about Motorhead not being in a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
I'm a huge Motorhead fan. I think that they should be in there.
I mean, all these bands that's coming out now are automatically getting. I mean, I have all respect in the world for the Foo Fighters, but if I had to choose between Foo Fighters and Motorhead, I'd choose Motorhead.
Well, listen, you're always going to have a band that gets in first ballot. You're always going to have a Nirvana. You're always going to have a Foo Fighters. I mean, you know, Dave Grohl's led a charmed life musically. But, yeah, there are a lot of bands that have been around a long time and are still not in. And Motorhead's absolutely a band that should... I don't even know if they've been... I think they were nominated maybe last time around. I feel like I remember casting a bunch of fan votes for Motorhead. But, yeah, they should absolutely be in.
I never seen Motorhead on the ballot.
I think King Diamond should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
I think Manowar should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. How do you like that? I think Gwar should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yes, now you're speaking my language.
Before, we were just talking Green Lanterns. Now,
you got to put the real rock stars in there first, like Whitney Houston. And you got to get LL Cool J in this time.
I'll give you a hot take. I think the Insane Clown Posse should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Boo!
Oh, you lost him, Alan. You lost him.
I had him, and then I lost him. Oh, sorry, Kane. I don't know what to tell you. It's not a free ride for everybody around here. But,
you know I'm going to lose.
Right?
Gambling's with fools.
Sometimes.
But that's the way I like it, baby. I don't want to live forever.
Cupcake, what band?
And he did not live forever. Say what?
Motorhead.
Yeah, hey. See? Getting him there. Getting him there.
Who's that yacht rock band that sang... Motorhead.
Well, it was Night Ranger. It's not a yacht rock band. Just because that song has been that song has been used in a billion movies and things. Boogie Nights. And
I thought it was a tribute to Motorhead.
No, they are not a yacht rock band.
Motorhead.
That's yeah.
What's that on your face?
Yeah.
I like it when you sing.
Another example of a rock band where the drummer was the singer. Night Ranger.
Sister Christian, oh, the time has come.
Not yacht rock, but I get where you're coming from.
We've heard this on the Alan Cox Show, or the Chrono Cruise. I assume anything I hear on the Chrono Cruise is yacht rock.
I don't think Motorhead.
You don't think they played
this? No, I don't think so. You could be right, but I don't. This isn't yacht rock.
It's too slow?
No, it gets going, but it's not yacht rock. It's like an 80s rock song. It's like an 80s rock ballad. Yeah.
I'm sure I've seen someone do this live at a bar.
I'm sure you have.
I wouldn't say this isn't yacht rock.
You wouldn't say it
yachty.
Isn't yacht
yeah,
rock?
It's pretty
no,
yachty.
It's an 80s rock ballad. It's like a hair ballad. Kinda,
yeah,
sure.
Yacht rock is like... Yacht rock was a nice way of rebranding 70s singer-songwritery stuff.
Right, but it's also becoming more...
Because you're missing it. Just said Motorhead.
Motorhead. I always thought motor and it was a weird thing to put in the song anyway. Right. Like, who actually says that?
I thought the song was called Motorin' for a long time.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. I think within, like, the last 5 years, I knew this song was called Sister Christian.
Okay, well, better late than never, Bill. You know, what if that shows up in the SATs or something?
I won't take them because I'm not going to... I'm trying to get my education taken away. I'm not trying to add to it.
Talk about trying to get your record expunged. This guy over here is like, I don't want any record of me graduating high school. Mm-hmm. By hook or by crook, you better take me off of every bit of recorded information you've got.
I want to call him, but I know it's like such a...
Don't do
it's
it.
It's going to waste their time.
It's so annoying. Don't be that guy.
Well, he's not going to not do it because it's annoying. If he wants it done, you should have it done. You should
get
it done.
We're trying to get people back into school full time.
But he's
one
guy.
COVID to worry about.
That frees up some room somehow for someone else. They don't have a finite number.
30 years later, no.
They don't have a finite number of people that they can work in there.
Just seems like I'd probably make a lot of paperwork for somebody else. I'll do my paperwork that I have to do, but I don't want to inconvenience
them. You're against paperwork in any of its forms.
Yeah, you know.
You would get this started, and then you'd have to drive to Medina to sign something. You'd be like, I'm not going down there. That's exactly how that would turn out.
I absolutely would, Doug.
What if they could do...
If they made it as easy as, I just have to go down there and sign something, I would do it after the show today.
What if you could be done all digitally?
Then it would be even better.
Right.
Yeah. And then, you know what I'd do?
Click a couple of CAPTCHA.
I would take it and turn it into a new NFT.
Click a couple of CAPTCHA squares. Where are all of the traffic lights? And then you prove to a robot that you are not a robot, and now you've been erased from your high school's records. It's as though there never was a Bill Squire who went to Medina Hawk Franklin High, whatever it's called.
Also, do you think if Cyborg from Snyder Cut had to take one of those CAPTCHAs, he would be able to pass it? Or he'd be
yes.
Like, I don't know. I can't tell you which one is a school bus. I'm not that human anymore. I'm more robot than man.
Yeah, but he can log in to the entirety of the internet and the web. And so he would be able to get on the other side of it. It wouldn't even come up.
But will he be able to be honest enough?
Oh, I don't know. Hey, Woody.
Ellen.
Yes, sir.
How's your day, brother?
Good, man. What's going on?
I'm just sitting here, just singing one of my guitars and having a pop and watching the waves crash on the lake.
Uh-huh.
And,
snowy day.
Hello, Bill. Hello, Mary.
Hello.
And Night Ranger Forever, as far as I'm concerned.
I like that song. I like when I hear them on the radio, I go, yeah, okay. I was never like a fan. I mean, you know, they're okay. Good people in the band.
I was a huge fan of the 80s. A little piece of useless trivia about the song Sister Christian. The drummer, I believe his name's Kelly Keegi. He was just sitting in the studio waiting for the band to show up, and he was farting around on a piano, and he started writing this song, and it was originally titled Sister Christie, named after his younger sister, who was like a teenager when he was like pushing 30 at the time in the 80s. And Motorin' is something that the California girls used to say about cruising around town, you know.
Yeah, I knew what it was. I just never heard anyone ever say it in real life. So maybe it was a West Coast thing.
Yeah, we were in the Valley in 1982, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a little bit.
But yeah,
before your time.
Pass.
Do you see the article about Foreigner, how they're like, our songs are more famous than the band, where people will absolutely know our songs, but they don't know who sang them. And I think that's kind of how that song's been for Night Ranger.
There's a lot of people like that. There's songs that people love. My wife, she loves all these songs. I go, who is this? Like country music. And she goes, I have no idea. I go, oh, man. I'm a nerd the other way, where it's like, I know songs I've never heard of. I know the band that does them. Okay, hey, thanks, Woody.
If he sounds super excited to see you...
Hey, what's up?
Remember, he is a paid performer.
As a broadcaster, he's real good.
Alan Cox on 100.7 WMMS.
To join us live, or 800-348-1007. 35192 if you want to send a text. AlanCoxShow.com. You can watch live there. The brand new Pound Take podcast is up there for you as well. A new episode of the Bill Squire Show is up there. I'll have another chance for you to get $1,400, by the way. If you missed the keyword at 3:30, the next one is at 5:30. And it's a chance for you to double your stimulus. So I think today and tomorrow are going to be your last handful of opportunities to do that. But if you're trying to get your mitts on some of that money, that's going to be a good way to do it. Indians, opening day is today there in Detroit. I think the weather is as awful as it is here. They were getting a lot of snow out there at Comerica. Cleveland getting shut out on day one. It's top of the eighth, 3-0 Tigers. On Monday, it'll be the home opener here at Progressive Field. That is a 4:10 start, I think. So we'll be in here for a bit, and then we'll slide out. Indians will be in for the home opener in front of 15,000 people. Hopefully by the time Monday rolls around, the weather will be just fine.
I think it's supposed to be like 64 or something, isn't
it? There you go. Because
we're
going to
have
not?
All three seasons this weekend. I'm serious. It's like 39, 57, 66, and sunny. I'm like, what the hell is happening?
Yeah. So, well, it's that time of year, man. Yeah, so my weather app says that Monday is going to be sunny and 69.
Nice.
So if you're going to be out there at the ballpark.
God, what a perfect day for baseball.
Great day for a ball game. Let's play two. So that's on Monday. The New York Mets, boy, they cannot get anything going. Everybody, if you're a Mets fan, even if you're out this way and you're a Mets fan, you're so excited. Because for the first time in a long time, it looks like everything's lining up, right? They got Jake DeGrom, amazing pitcher. They finally get Frankie Lindor locked down, 10 years, $341 million.
So everything much money.
They're spending money. Stevie Cohen signing the checks. Everything looks like it's great. They had to postpone their opening day game because of COVID. Because there's a coronavirus scare in the Mets organization. And so they were going to play the Washington Nationals. And their game was postponed. So,
what a bummer.
One more reason, perhaps, to be a Yankees fan. But there it is. Also, my sincerest condolences to one Bert Kreischer on the death of Periscope. He was the very last person I knew who was still on Periscope, and they have folded for good. We just mentioned Periscope the other day, and we were talking about places you can do things, and I wasn't even sure it was still a thing. It's not anymore. It was basically a Twitter's live video app, but that was kind of the thing that got everybody doing live streams.
Stuff, yeah.
Yeah, Periscope was kind of...
They're cutting edge.
The cutting edge of that whole thing. But they shut down yesterday, just over 6 years after they were launched. And again, we joke about it, but if you went on Periscope, there were still a lot of people on there that you knew.
But don't they just do it, like you just go live on Twitter now?
It's in Twitter now, yeah. So it's just a matter of them not removing. I'm sure those people will just get, you know,
see, Twitter,
just doing it on Twitter.
Trying to like branch off with Vine and Periscope when they should have just put those as features on Twitter, and then it would still be around.
Well, even before Periscope, there was an app called Meerkat, if you remember. There were some people on that, but then Periscope just kind of got all the attention. So Meerkat was first, and then live streaming blew up, but then live streaming didn't... That kind of that wasn't as popular as it was at the very beginning. Like, Facebook pushed it. We used to do Facebook Lives in here all the time before we had, like, cameras and YouTube and, you know, whatever. And it just wasn't that big of a deal anymore. So I think they looked at Periscope and they're like, we don't, you know.
Well, and again, I think it's because they didn't integrate it into the app. Like, you have Instagram Live and Facebook Live, and even you can go, you know, we're live on YouTube right now. But Twitter built this whole other app where, like, that was annoying. If they would have just built it into Twitter, and same with Vine, like, if they would have just made that a feature on Twitter, I think those things would still be around. But instead, they tried to build these other apps when it's, I think, better to just include it in the app that you already have that has a bunch of users.
It was clunky to go back and forth between Periscope and Twitter.
I didn't know that Vine was by Twitter.
I don't know if it originally was, but I think they bought it pretty quick. Like, didn't they? I thought they bought it real quick.
Vine was at, like, one of my peaks of alcoholism. So there were just, I went back the other day and I was like, because I had old tweets that had, like, Vine links in them. And I was like, oh no, what is this? And it was all just, like, a shot of, like, a booze and then, like, me making a face and then, like, the wall of a bar. And I'm like, Mayor, who did you think was watching this? Like, what
some people made
it?
Money. I mean, Vine, by the time people knew what Vine was, Twitter owned it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Lauren.
Hi.
Hi, what's going on?
Hey, so my daughter and I are driving up from Kent to Headlands, and I was behind this car that was, like, driving so slow in the fast lane, and they had, like, 800 bumper stickers, and so we were, like, trying to read, because I said, oh, I guarantee there's going to be a coexist sticker on there. And
there's going to be a what?
So coexist.
Oh, coexist. Or a Darwin
there's
fish?
Always one.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, yeah, there's always one of those. I mean, every single time. So we're reading all the bumper stickers, and I was wrong. There was not a coexist sticker, but there was an Alan Cox. So I just wanted to say congratulations. You made, like, one of the random only people that didn't have the coexist sticker.
I made the cut. I was behind a truck the other day that had one of my stickers next to a Trump sticker. And I was like, I was so amazed by it because I'm like, someone's getting trolled here, and I'm not sure if it's Trump or me, but thank you nevertheless. Did you give them did you give them the double honk, Lauren? Did you like?
I couldn't. I hope you don't hear it like I'm hitting road strips right now because we're on 90 East. No, I couldn't get past them. Actually, they were, like, taking up the fast lane and going really slow.
That's how I like it. Hey, here's a sticker. Make sure you obey the speed limits. Make sure you don't let anybody get around you. I write little notes when I mail these out to people. Just personalized notes. Hey, put this, stop with the coexist, replace it with this, and just drive about 15 to 20 miles below the speed limit. So that's, I guess, who you ran into.
Yep, that's exactly what they were doing. So
all right, good.
I just wanted to say congrats.
Hey, thanks, Lauren. Congrats. We made it on to something, right? Okay, thank you. Okay. Thank you, Lauren. Pay attention to the road. This other person's going 20 miles per hour under, and she's out there hitting construction cones.
I think that Lauren just has a bit of a lead foot, and this person's probably just going the speed limit.
Yeah, well, don't go the speed limit in the left lane.
Well, if it's a bunch of traffic.
It's not what it's for.
Yeah, but if there's somebody in front of you that is also going the speed limit, and
so get that person also on.
No, but it
also
sounded like she
snowed
was,
and people forgot that they forgot how to drive when it snows.
It also sounded like she might have been in a construction zone, in which case you're not supposed to switch lanes. Mm-hmm. So if it's down to a two lane thing and you happen to be in the left lane, you got to ride it out, man. You got to ride it out.
Yeah.
You just got to be really careful when you're out there. Hey, Eric.
Hey, crew. How's it going?
What's going on?
So thank you for helping me relive my past trauma with Tiny Tim.
Oh, tiptoe through the tulips, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That Weird Al documentary is going to be out pretty soon.
Yeah, I will not be watching that. So I called my mom to verify all this stuff. I was like, why does Tiny Tim make me so uncomfortable? And she's like, oh, well, when you were 3, you had a broken ankle. So we decided to take you to the circus and, you know, cheer me up a little bit. So I was having a great time, apparently, and then Tiny Tim came on, and I just buried my head into my mom,
and started bawling, crying because I was so freaked out.
Well, yeah, because he's terrifying. He looked like Gru from the Despicable Me movies with like long hair. He was gross and, you know, very strange. And, you know, anybody that like never lets any part of their body show freaks me out. Like they've got a turtleneck on all the time, or, you know, they're always dressed like a vampire. I don't know. Tiny Tim was just a weird dude. But I'm happy to drudge up some old painful memories for you, Eric.
Yeah, well, you know, I got to ride an elephant afterwards.
That's fun.
That was fun.
And then he turned around, and it was actually Tiny Tim he was riding. It was never an elephant. Yeah. Okay, thank you, Eric. There you go. There you go.
Ugh, I hate it.
I don't hate it, I just don't really get it.
Well, it was
like,
such
who's this for?
Yeah, it was such a novelty, because I think because it was late 60s, early 70s, everybody was high. It was probably perfect for the psychedelic age. His real name was Herbert Buckingham Corey, but he was known professionally as Tiny
Herbie
Tim.
Herbie
Buckingham Corey. Oh. Yeah, he died in 96. He was 64 years old. His grandfather was a rabbi. His parents had come over here from Belarus. And,
Belarus?
What's that?
What country is that? Is that a country or is that
like
a
Russia
city?
Or
is
Soviet Union or something?
Yeah, I think it used to be part. It's like it borders Poland and Ukraine. Okay. And, yeah.
That's what I thought. I just want to make sure.
He was just a weird dude. And
came through in his art.
He married Miss Vicky, I think, on the Carson show or something. That was like a big deal. But I don't think that they ever like consummated the marriage or anything like that. But he was always sick. He looked sickly. So it was no shock when people were like, oh my God, you mean Tiny Tim wasn't in great health?
What if he was packing some heat? Like, what if that was
never used it. I mean, to hear him say it.
I think that's just a ruse. I think he just wants to create that allure because it makes him more interesting.
Belarus.
He could be laying pipe. He's like, I ain't got such a Tiny Tim after all, do I?
They told him that he couldn't.
A real Timothy in my pants.
Yeah, he had a heart attack just as he began singing at a ukulele festival in Massachusetts. You know you are in awful shape when the ukulele kicks your ass and you have a heart attack.
It's like the most relaxed. Like, you associate that with tranquility on a beach.
Yes. It's the most. My heart can't handle
my chest.
This. Oh, no. What the hell? The hookie low. It did me in.
At the hookie low on the beach the other day.
The
was quite great in the Polynesian way. Yeah. I got cow-cow and a poly how and the jug went round and round. The net was full and we gave a pull and this is what we found.
So in September, he had a heart attack on stage. And a couple of months later, doctors told him, stop performing because you are in bad shape. You have diabetes. You're tall. You're fat. Don't do it. By this time, he was on his third wife. I don't know who these psychotic women were that were marrying this guy.
They're just transfixed by his talent.
And he wasn't feeling well. He was doing another show in Minneapolis. And he wasn't feeling well. Before the start of his performance, most of the audience had left.
Aww,
and so he's on stage.
Died he has a broken heart.
He has another heart attack in the middle of playing Tiptoe Through the Tulips.
And it was a curse song.
Yeah, he was doing a show for the Women's Club of Minneapolis. Great gig. And his wife's helping him back to the table when he collapsed and never woke up. So he died in November of 1996.
So were his wives like bad bitches? Like were they
no,
cute?
They were. I think they were fans. I don't know what the deal was there, but I mean, if you ever heard him in interviews, he was just like a guy who there was nothing to him. Like he was a novelty through and through, and he didn't sound like he took good care of himself. So, like, I don't know if he bathed. I don't know. It was a whole
I don't know
thing.
If he bathed.
You know what I mean? Like the way he would talk, he'd be like, "Oh no, I don't ever."
I don't need to know more about him. I'm not really into this documentary, but maybe I'll watch it. Maybe I'll learn a bunch of things.
Net worth. He's worth $3.6 million. Maybe that's why.
There's no way Tiny Tim ever got to $3 million. Unless he was...
It was calculated for today's times, but that was March 19th, 2021.
Okay. Well, he died 25 years ago. I mean, I don't know what his estate held, but that song wasn't even his. So it's not like he was making money off Tiptoe Through the Tulips.
But they were making those sold out tours
but for the Women's Club of Minneapolis.
That was back when people were buying albums, though. So it said he sold 200,000 copies, and he did several movies and concerts.
Tiny Tim was very OCD. Same food, same hygiene products to an extreme. Yeah, that tracks.
Was that, what was the food? Hot dogs?
Don't know.
He was just like in that terrible a shape. He's like, I only eat 4 hot dogs every meal.
Well, I'm kind of trying to cast my mind back to when I had seen or heard interviews with him. And I feel like he would talk about like, I only eat things that are white.
Oh, that or, kind of a
that
thing.
Kind
okay.
of thing. I mean, again, this was a guy that was not in good health at all. 64 to die of a heart attack. I mean, that's kind of... Is that young?
Back then,
not.
No.
In the mid-90s?
Why am I thinking this was like 1920?
Because that's when the song is from, 1920. Yeah. You're talking about NFTs before. This Croatian tennis player, this girl, she sold a patch of her arm for $5,000, and the person gets to put a tattoo on there.
That's cool.
Is it?
I mean... I would probably charge more than $5,000.
I guess she made $5,000.
Yeah.
She put it up for auction on an NFT marketplace. She sold exclusive lifetime ownership of the part of her inner left arm between the elbow and the shoulder.
Yeah, inner arm, yeah.
For $5,000.
It's going to hurt, too. That's a sensitive spot.
She sold that section of skin where the owner can commission a tattoo or temporary body art.
It's going to be a penis.
She's 20. She said her sports career is on the rise. She is currently ranked 658th in the Women's Tennis Association. And she said, I'll be playing, obviously, and people will see this tattoo all the time.
For five, that's really low.
Yeah, I feel like that's real low.
Well, she's Croatian. That's probably $1 million to her. I don't know.
I'd do it for $50,000.
$50,000?
Mm-hmm.
Just a tattoo on your inner arm?
Mm-hmm.
You would do it for $5,000.
No, I would not.
Why not?
Because.
What do you care?
That's not enough money.
90% of the time, that's going to be obscured. Your arm's going to be against your body.
No, you don't know anything about me. I just got an armpit modeling career going. I'm 659th in the armpit model industry.
Then under those circumstances, I see. But again,
real estate,
she already has tattoos. She's got like a neck tattoo on her of her the year of her birth on her front of her neck. That's a solid, look. Well, some people have it on the side.
Yeah.
She has it over, like, her...
Clavicle.
Yeah. Her neck. Not even her collarbone. Like, her, you know, she didn't have a chest piece.
Well, here's...
Across the front of her, under her chin.
Here's why. $50,000. Because they can pick whatever they want. And I don't trust people not to pick something stupid. So whatever they pick is on you forever.
I would imagine she probably, in the process of this auction, had some clarifications. I'm not going to get a tattoo of a penis.
Right.
Or a swastika.
Or a swastika.
Right. Well,
right. If an American, you know, spent the money, you got to make sure that they don't want to put a swastika on there. Hey, Bill.
Yeah. Hi, Alan.
What's going on, man?
Hey, you were talking about Tiny Tim. Years ago, Howard Stern had him on a few times, and he played a song that Tiny Tim finally released. His record company didn't want him to release it, called Santa Claus Has Got the AIDS This Year. You can find
I vaguely remember that, yeah.
It'll knock your socks off. He's funnier than hell.
Thank you.
A few beers. When he would visit, they would feed him a few beers so his tongue would get loose, you know?
Sure, yeah. Okay, thank you, Bill. I vaguely remember him doing Howard Stern. They said Tiny Tim wrote this before anybody realized how serious AIDS actually was.
Oh.
So it's not like he wrote this in 1992, you know? Yeah, I'm not getting a lot of chuckles off of that one. I mean, just as a song.
I mean, I can
see why the subject matter.
But if you heard it as in the 80s or 90s, and like it would be so shocking, you'd be like, oh my God, I can't believe he's playing this on the radio.
But he's not saying that he is happy Santa Claus got the AIDS.
Right,
he's just that reporting that Santa Claus got the AIDS.
That anyone could get it. It's actually
that's
a public
true.
Service announcement.
There you go.
It's like, you don't have to be a gay man to get the AIDS. You could just maybe you shared a needle with a reindeer.
He wasn't wildly speculating about how he got it. Mm-hmm. He's just letting people know Santa Claus. Not now again, that also opens up, because what adult cares about Santa Claus? Not a one. But it opens up a dialogue that you're going to have with your children. Why isn't Santa coming this year, Mommy? According to Tiny Tim, honey, Santa Claus has got the AIDS. And Tiny Tim, the character Tiny Tim, a classic Christmas character. So who better to peel the curtain back on Santa's HIPAA situation than... Herbert Buckingham Corey.
That was a
from
song.
Manhattan.
That was a song too, wasn't it? It was a Santa shared a needle with a reindeer.
Yep.
That was it.
Trolling home from our house Christmas Eve.
Yeah, that was it. That's right.
Hey, ladies. If bad puns and even worse accents get it slippery down there.
I'm so turned on, I think I'm actually getting dehydrated.
You've come to the right place.
The Alan Cox Show.
On 100.7 WMMS.
Nice little public service announcement to provide. 216-578-1007. If you want to... call us up, 800-348-1007, 35192 is the number to text me. If you listen on iHeartRadio, tell me where you do that, whether it's from the far-flung corners of Ohio or if it's from somewhere else. Kevin listens in Miami. Jeremiah is a bureau chief in Chesapeake, Virginia. Mark is in Bayonne, New Jersey. And Craig is a new listener in Phoenix. So, thanks. So, am I supposed to root for Godzilla or King Kong?
I don't know.
Godzilla versus King Kong.
Godzilla's the one who destroys the cities.
Yeah, actually. Well,
but wasn't he the good guy in the Godzilla movies? Doesn't he end up being like a pal?
They're kind of anti-heroes. Sometimes they're the good guys, sometimes they're the bad guys, but they're creatures. So they're looking out for themselves first, but they also understand that... you got to do what's right because they, for whatever reason, have moral compasses. I watched it last night. So,
did you like it?
I mean, for what it was, there was enough good moments. The thing about these movies is they got to stop trying to act like we care at all about the human actors in these movies.
Right.
I don't need them whatsoever. You could put different actors in every scene and it would not matter. I want to see a big old gorilla... punch a giant dinosaur, and then shoot lightning at each other and do all sorts of weird stuff. That's what I'm there for. I don't need 11 from Stranger Things being like, well, we just have to try harder and do what we can to help Godzilla. Like, I don't care about that.
This doesn't have to be a climate change allegory or anything
right.
like that. Yeah.
That's what I've read
is that people are like, anytime the people are there, who cares? Which is ironic because there are so many other movies... where there's no character development at all, and you're like, well, I'd kind of like to know a little bit more about him. A movie like this,
you really don't
want to. You just want to see him fight, right?
You just want to see him fight. You want to see things get smashed.
Is Rebecca Hall in this? She's hot.
Who's Rebecca Hall?
She's a brunette.
Is she the one that was in Baby
English.
Driver?
No.
Oh, Rebecca Hall. I know who you're talking about. Yeah, she's in it.
Okay.
She
I wouldn't say she's hot.
I like her a lot.
I'd say she is mousy pretty.
Oh. Nothing mousy about her.
She's so mousy.
You think?
Yes.
I think she's lovely.
She had that sex tape come out, right? Kids in the Hall?
Wow. I missed that one. I missed the underage sex tape that she had.
Kids in the Hall. No. No. I don't think so.
But yeah, but there's also the girl that was... in Baby Driver, what is her name?
Oh, yeah, she's English, too. The waitress in Baby Driver.
No, not the waitress. What's his face?
Kevin Spacey.
Not the other... He's got the big wiener.
John Hamm.
John Hamm. Uh-huh. His lady in that movie. Like, there were the criminals together. She's in it, and she is so hot.
Aiza Gonzalez?
Yes.
Not Lily James is the one.
Not Lily James.
Aiza Gonzalez.
Aiza.
She's from Nickelodeon. E-I-Z-A.
Yeah, she is
Aiza
very
Gonzalez?
Pretty.
Okay. Yeah, she looks cute, too. Well, anyway, yeah, so I want to watch this.
You don't think...
Huh?
Look, Mary, look up Rebecca Hall and give us a ruling from a heterosexual woman's standpoint on if she was mousy or hot.
Well, how are you defining hot? Do they have to be like a bombshell?
Hot.
Yeah, I think she's
gorgeous. I mean, in all these pictures are like red carpet, so she's dressed to the nines and has on makeup and stuff.
Yeah, in the movies, especially because I think she's in a Woody Allen movie a few years ago. And then she's also in, Iron Man 3. And she always plays, the nerdy...
Like a regular girl.
Regular girl.
Yeah, well, I think that's hot.
I mean...
I think she's real pretty. She was in The
Town.
I
think she's pretty. I think she's pretty, but I think she...
The Prestige.
Is,
who's the
yes,
other
very
one?
Mousy.
Iglesias?
Aiza Gonzalez.
Aiza Gonzalez.
Aiza.
Yeah, in The Prestige, she's also very plain.
Alan King Kong and Godzilla would both lose to Paul Bunyan. Well, that should be the next one in the Monsterverse. King Kong versus Godzilla versus Paul Bunyan. And then Babe the Blue Ox could get in there, too.
How tall was Paul Bunyan? Was he huge?
Or was he
just like a big person?
He was 6'8", strangely enough. Wow. Not very tall. That's why Babe the Blue Ox looked so big next to Paul Bunyan. Because Paul Bunyan wasn't... Babe the Blue Ox would stand up on his hind legs.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't know this. You know, if you've seen Fargo, they've got that huge statue of Paul Bunyan and Babe the Blue Ox. But Paul Bunyan himself, you know, that's why they call him Tall Tales, because these guys were always thought to be bigger than life. But Paul Bunyan was just a regular guy. But that Babe the Blue Ox, the unsung hero of that duo there.
Well, he also has an axe, so I don't know how Godzilla will do against an axe.
But I figure that the axe is not going to stop King Kong.
King Kong has the axe.
King Kong has an axe?
Paul Bunyan's axe?
Well, I thought you were talking about Godzilla. Godzilla has an axe in this movie. Spoiler alert. He ends up having an axe.
He's got spikes and scales. I don't think he's got an axe.
King Kong has an axe.
King Kong has an axe in
Yes.
this.
Yes. And he's going to grind it.
Oh, I see. This time it's personal.
No, I mean, he ends up... There's a lot of silly stuff in this movie, and it's a lot of fun. I thought it was a very fun movie, so if you got HBO Max, it's worth the watch.
And you can just turn your brain off.
Yeah, turn your brain off and just enjoy it for what it is.
Is he a Don't sea go lizard? In there. Godzilla?
Yeah, I mean, he's got gills, yeah.
Okay. That's where he lives. Whenever he's always coming up out of water.
Did you call him a sea wizard?
Lizard.
Oh, I said wizard.
No, a sea lizard.
He's got a hat
lizard.
With stars and crescent moons all over it.
Merlin.
Yeah. A sea lizard.
Yeah.
Gojira.
Yeah.
Yeah, Godzilla is, sure, sea lizard.
He lives in water.
Yes. Is he a kaiju? For the nerds, is he technically a kaiju?
A kaiju-ish, please. It sounds a little anti-Semitic when you call him.
I'm sorry. You're right. That's not the preferred nomenclature. I think by definition, he's kaiju-ish.
Yeah, he's kaiju.
Right, he's a giant monster.
Yeah, giant monster.
Okay. Now I think
technically that makes them both kaijus, because they're both giant monsters.
I didn't pay attention to the second Godzilla movie. So the first one, because they sold it to you with Bryan Cranston.
Mm-hmm.
And you go, oh my God, cool. If he's in it, it must be good, because he wouldn't pick a piece of crap. Other than that movie where he hides in his garage for a year. Nevertheless, then he's in it for like a few minutes, and you go, okay, whatever. I didn't mess around with the second one, but
The King of the Monsters?
Yeah, Millie Bobby Brown's in both of these last two?
Yeah.
I have a question.
Is Kyle Chandler in this one? Because I like him a lot.
Yes, he is. And again,
Coach Tom or
whatever. But you don't need them at all in these movies. At all. They're pointless.
Did these monsters exist on their own separately?
Yes.
Like there was a Godzilla movie, and there was a King Kong movie, and then they started fighting at some point?
I think if the first time they were on screen together was in 1968 or something.
But they each had their own thing.
But they each had their own thing.
Okay.
And King Kong was not nearly as big as he is in this movie. Like, the original King Kong was like 40 feet tall.
And yeah, now like he climbs the Empire State Building, and now he's like taller than the Empire State
Building. Right, now he's like 700 feet tall.
And little known team up between the two of them, he's right, it was in the 60s, then again shows up in a deleted scene from Love Actually.
Oh!
Yeah.
Holding up a sign.
That's right.
Doing that whole thing.
Didn't we have a debate on the show whether Godzilla blows fire or not?
I thought it was electricity.
No.
In the old Japanese movies, he breathed fire. But I think that was more of a function of a limited production budget than anything else. Now they've got him shooting, like, laser beams out of his throat or something,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. I got into a fight with my family, and we didn't talk for, like, a couple years.
Over Godzilla?
Yes.
A couple years!
A couple years.
My brother was like, no, he does not blow fire. He like, roared to a car, and the car blew up. And I was like, no, it didn't. The car, I was like, he blew fire, and the car blew up. He was like, no, he didn't. Blow fire
because in the recent Godzilla movies, it's like they turned him into the Cloverfield monster or something.
A little bit, yeah. So he's got a lot more powers now. And there's also there was, in 98 or 99, there was the Godzilla with Matthew Broderick,
right?
And then
Hank Azaria.
And then they go, oh well, we're gonna throw this back. And there was like another Japanese Godzilla release called Godzilla 2000. And me and my friends went and saw that. And it was more of like the classic style Godzilla with a little bit of CGI in it, but it's still like the guy in the rubber suit. But by that time, like Godzilla had become more of a like hero in these movies, and he's fighting all these other monsters. And the way that movie ends is these Japanese scientists talking to each other and go, well, maybe there's a little Godzilla in all of us.
And
then does the end, and then a question mark appears.
Ooh.
And it, like, me and my friends were loving it because it was so corny and so good and so much like the Godzillas that we went and saw or that we watched on like Saturday afternoons when we were kids.
My middle brother was obsessed with Godzilla as a kid, and I was too young to remember this, but my parents would always tease him because I guess when he was like heavy in his Godzilla phase, every person he met or talked to, the first thing out of his mouth would be, Godzilla's bigger than King Kong, like that. And so growing up, we would always...
He was the I like turtles
kid. But like at church or wherever we went, even when my brother became a teenager, that's what we would always, like he would tell us a random fact and then one of us would be like, yeah, is Godzilla bigger than King Kong? So I guess he did that.
Is his oldest brother?
No, the middle brother.
Next time I see him.
Yeah, Godzilla's bigger than King Kong.
And I'm going to say, do you know that they're actually the same size now?
Did you know that?
He's going to freak out.
When I was a kid, there was a show from the late 60s, but they ran it in reruns, called Ultraman.
Yeah.
I was way into Ultraman as a kid. And I think he might have fought Godzilla a couple of times. But it was basically a dude in a suit who didn't really say anything, and he just flew around and shot beams out of his wrists. But I loved Ultraman as a kid.
Yeah, Ultraman looked cool.
Yeah.
That was a cool... but they haven't put any of... Ultraman has been forgotten.
I guess so.
By these studios.
He's been cast into the dustbin of pop culture history.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe too similar to what they were trying to make the Power Rangers. I feel like they ripped off Ultraman to make the Power Rangers.
Absolutely, yeah. And Voltron, too.
Hey, Alex.
Hey, what's going on, man?
How are you?
Doing okay. Love you guys. Hate the show.
Thank you, sir.
I did see Godzilla versus Kong last night, and I wanted to give an Uber Godzilla nerd's thoughts, because that's the perspective everybody really wants, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, Godzilla versus Kong, liked it. Now, did either of you, I think Bill's seen all of the MonsterVerse, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you said you haven't watched any of it, Alan?
I saw the first Godzilla movie, skip the second one, I will watch this one.
Did you watch the Skull Island movie?
I liked Skull Island a lot, with John Goodman and Brie Larson. Oh, okay. Yeah, I liked Kong Skull Island, yeah.
Yeah, Godzilla vs. Kong, then, you should like it. I mean, King of the Monsters, I think, actually still was a better movie, so I think you should give that one a chance. But
okay.
Yeah, this one was as wild and wacky as any, like, 1968, you know, they call it the Showa era of Godzilla back then, like, destroy all monsters. Like, it was really a lot like that one. It was wild, wacky. I loved it.
Okay. So you're saying the new one, thumbs up, chef recommends.
I mean, yeah, it's not going to be anything like the better Godzilla movies. Like, you talk to either Godzilla fans or, like, film critics, and they're going to tell you, like, this could have been so much better than what it was. But, I mean, hey, for people that just want to watch monsters smash each other, it's great.
Well, that's what I want.
I agree. They do get to that pretty quickly, and they're not, you know, trying to build up these characters like they tried to in the past, where it's like, you have to have this connection. I mean, there's a little bit of that, but it's kind of tongue-in-cheek, and they do a good enough job.
That's why I think Alan should watch King of the Monsters, because I think that's the best one of this series that kind of blended those two together. It's got a little bit of the greater significance of the monsters, but at the same time, you're getting a lot of monster action, and the humans are there. Not really much, but they're better than Godzilla vs. Kong.
Listen,
I'll get at that.
For my money, no one's ever going to top Matthew Broderick standing inside a footprint and going, "Where is it?" And they go, "You're in it." You're and then they pan out. Oh, my God. He thought he was on a regular expedition, but there he is trying to figure out Godzilla. I just like that somebody thought Matthew Broderick would be perfect for the Godzilla movie. And we're going to get Hank Azaria, too. We're going to throw him in the mix. Okay,
yeah,
good.
Godzilla fan.
Thank you for your nerd perspective, Alex.
Thanks, man.
All right, thank you.
I'll tell you what, though. In that Godzilla, when they're in Madison Square Garden and there's a bunch of baby Godzillas that mm-hmm. they're running away from, mm-hmm. I thought that scene was fantastic. I thought that was very well done.
The baby Godzillas.
The baby Godzillas running around in Madison Square Garden and they're trying to evade them. I thought that was my favorite part of that one.
Is Ghidra in this one?
It's pronounced Gojira.
Is Mothra in this one?
There's some. Who is in? I think Mothra might be in it a little bit.
Okay.
It might have not been Mothra. It might have been another one of the flying dinosaur or flying monsters. But I'm not. There was a flying monster. I don't
know. Is Rodan in it?
No.
Not the French sculptor, the monster.
That's what you got to go to King of the Monsters for all that stuff.
Okay. Well, then I will go to it. Hey, James.
What's up, guys?
Hey, Joe. Thank you.
Doing pretty good. I must agree with Alex, the previous caller, as a fellow 90s kid who grew up watching Godzilla VHS tapes until you wore them out and mom had to buy another one.
Yeah.
King of the Monsters is definitely the best of all the new reboots.
Okay.
It stays away from the human factor. It shows you the roots and origins of Monster Zero, King Ghidorah, which is pretty cool.
Now let me ask you this: Am I going to be able to follow this one if I haven't seen King of the Monsters? Is the narrative thread going to be too complex for me without having seen the setup?
Well, I think the only thing that could possibly help you with King of the Monsters is seeing the old Godzilla versus Monster Zero, because those were the parts of the new movie that I appreciated the most, showing how they how he's summoned, basically, and what his purposes are. But I don't think really, I hope Godzilla movies don't go that way where you have to watch them in sequential order, because the old ones were not like that. You could watch them in any order. There's no particular order. But
they don't go to Planet X in this one, do they?
No.
I believe so, man. The one main reason I was calling, though, you guys were debating on what Godzilla shoots out of his mouth. My understanding is that it's a, highly focused array of gamma radiation, which would be quite devastating, more so than fire.
What I heard he shoots out of his mouth is just lies and conjecture and rumors, Bill.
Oh,
this
fake news.
Godzilla, it's a concentrated beam of fake news, and it's headed right for you.
He should run for president.
I guess so. Okay, thank you, James. I appreciate that. Okay, everybody kind of throwing in here a little bit. I do want the nerd perspective because, again, these movies, you know, they're fun. I could take them or leave them. Let me ask you this, Bill. Does Millie Bobby Brown's nostril bleed at all during this movie?
No. Do you need that?
Well, it would. It's going to take me out of the movie.
The other kid that's in the movie is also not hot, so I know how you feel about hot kids.
I'm just saying, if you want me to watch kids, they better be attractive, or else why are you putting them in movies?
Yeah, this is the tubby kid from Deadpool 2.
I don't remember that kid.
That's her
friend. Okay.
Her friend.
All right. I mean, Millie Bobby Brown's got to be at least 18 by now, right?
She is not, I don't think.
He's 17 years old. All right, fine. Hello, Greg.
Hey, Alan, how you doing, man? Hey, Joe.
Thank you. What's up?
Hey, you had me nerd out when you said Johnny Sacco, man. You remember Johnny Sacco when he used to shoot out the missiles out of his fingertips when we was watching Ultraman back in the day?
Yeah, he was Giant Robo.
I thought that was Johnny Sacco.
Yeah, it was Johnny Sacco and his flying robot, but Johnny Sacco was the one who controlled the giant robot.
Yeah, yeah, that was my show back in the day. And do you remember War of the Gargantuas with the brown and the green giant? Like, they were like bears back in the day.
giant bears. I remember Gigantor. I don't remember the green, he was like the Iron Man, Tetsuo the Iron Man.
No, these were two, you know, it was on the same kind of scene with the, you know, wild, crazy Japanese scientists mutated these two cubs, and one was green, one was brown.
Oh, I don't remember those.
One was bad. Oh, okay, well, hey. I love it. I love Godzilla, love King Kong, and I love the show, man. You guys have a great weekend.
Thank you.
You know what?
There you go. Thank you, Greg. Nerd alert! Appreciate it. Thank you. Nerd alert!
You know what they haven't done yet is the baby Godzilla from the old Japanese movies. Mm-hmm. They haven't done a version of that because that was a very cute Godzilla, and I love baby Godzilla.
Now, where did they go from here, though?
I think baby Godzilla's got to be next.
Well, could they do King Kong versus Cloverfield?
Nah, Cloverfield's different.
It's not part of the Monsterverse? I mean, are Godzilla and King Kong the only two things in the Monsterverse?
No, like, the Mummy was supposed to be part of this whole thing, too.
Yeah, but that's dead in the water.
Yeah, that's dead in the water.
Was it going to be Godzilla versus the Mummy?
I don't know if they were going to tie them all in together, but I think... But the Monsterverse was all supposed to have some sort of ties together, so I think there was going to be the Mummy, and like I think there was going to be a Dracula or a vampire thing. Just Frankenstein, like all the classic monsters.
Could they do Frankenstein versus Pacific Rim?
I mean, I wouldn't do that.
Could they Frankenstein? Do Idris Elba versus the Wolfman? Could that
be
a movie?
Yeah, Wolfman. Oh, yeah, I forgot about Wolfman.
Could it be Charlie Hunnam versus Baby Godzilla?
That would be great.
Mm, I like Charlie.
See, now I got Mary's attention.
First time I said a word in 19 minutes.
Jax Teller.
Give me some Jax Teller.
Versus the Wolfman.
He's so hot.
Lon Chaney the Fourth.
It's got Alexander Skarsgård in this
Skarsgård!
He's a handsome
That seemed Mountain Dew induced.
Yeah. No. If I was in that family, I would say my name like that all the time.
Skarsgård.
Because Peter Sarsgaard and yeah.
Is it Sarsgaard, not Skarsgård?
Sarsgaard, yes.
Okay, but then stop putting the K's in there.
Right.
You Swedish jerk.
Sarsgaard! Because one of them was just Randall Flagg in The Stand. And Stellan Skarsgård is... Stellan Sarsgaard.
Sarsgaard.
Maybe his is Skarsgård, but Sarsgaard. And there's Peter, who's married to Maggie Gyllenhaal, right? And then Alexander is the guy you're talking about.
Yeah.
His name is Skarsgård.
I thought so.
There's Peter Sarsgaard. And then Stellan Skarsgård. So, but irrespective of any of that, I would pronounce my name like that all the time.
Skarsgård.
They say, what's your name? Skarsgård.
Skarsgård's the name.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
Fighting monsters is me game.
When the world just seems too crazy.
Gaze into the eyes of a child, because you'll probably find a booger. And man, is that a hoot.
The Alan Cox Show on 100.7 WMMS.
Didn't Serge Tankian cover this for one of the new Godzilla movies?
I don't know, but I would
you know
love
this
to
old Blue Oyster
yeah.
Cult track?
Yeah.
I sing this to my daughter all the time because she has no clue what the song is. So it just sounds like Dad made up a fun Godzilla song. Poundcake, you ever heard of the Blue Oyster Cult?
I have heard of it, but I don't think I've ever heard the music.
Don't Fear the Reaper.
I'm familiar with the Blue Waffle.
The Blue Not Waffle personally. Cult has a lot more members in it.
Not that personal. It's not in my everyday life.
That's pretty good. Okay. Burning for You, Don't Fear the Reaper. People forget what great songs Blue Oyster Cult has.
I Fear the Carolina Reaper.
Yes, that's right. You too. Well done. Hey, Reed.
How are you?
What's going on, Reed?
All right, I got a factoid and then a quick question. Okay, you and Bill were both talking about Baby Godzilla. He actually has a name, Godzuki.
Oh.
Godzuki was his name. Now, my question is, I don't recall ever hearing any mention of a Mrs. Godzilla. So do you think that there could have been a Godzilla Immaculate Conception?
What if Godzilla is like the seahorse, where the male has the baby?
Yeah, but what about the female?
How do we know there's a female?
Godzilla.
Maybe it's asexual reproduction.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe Godzilla gets pollinated.
Wait. I just thought of something.
What?
Maybe Godzilla was a hermaphrodite.
Oh, cool.
and F themselves.
Dayzilla.
Yeah, that's right. What about Reptar?
Hey, I remember Reptar.
Yeah.
Not from the Rugrats.
Hey, by the way, I believe Fu Manchu did a cover of Godzilla.
Oh, there you go. All right, good.
Yeah.
Okay, right, thank right, you. There you go. There's Reed.
He was really excited.
But everybody's nerding out. That's fine. You know, every once in a while, we can nerd out with stuff. Hello.
Hey, who's this?
This is your friend Timothy Mosgaltor, formerly of Cleveland Cavaliers.
How you doing, buddy?
Doing better than Cavaliers.
Yeah, they're not doing great this year.
They're not doing great.
No, they're not.
But LeBron James can't carry the team by himself.
Well, he hasn't been on the team for almost 4 years, so.
That's why I said he can't carry the team by himself. He doesn't even play for them. What's he supposed to do, Bill?
3 years now. Yeah, so, yeah, he's not carrying the team now. So it's all new cast, basically. Kevin Love's still there. You remember Kevin Love?
I do not remember Kevin Love.
Really? He gets for teammates for a couple of years.
Does he remember me? Probably not.
I bet he does.
I don't know about that. Bill, I called because I heard you talking about these movies.
Oh, yeah.
Very excited. You know I like to make announcements to you first, Bill.
I always appreciate that, too. But you are... So you heard us talking about the Godzilla movies and the King Kong movies, and you're like, I have to announce something?
That's right, Bill.
Well, I'm excited to hear what you have to announce.
You were talking about who do monster movies next.
Mm-hmm.
Your friend Timothy.
You're doing a monster movie?
I'm doing Mosgovzilla.
Mosgovzilla.
That's right, Bill. I've already written, I've looked at the script.
Uh-huh.
I said I needed the script approval. That's how you know you're a big deal.
Oh, yeah. So can you give us that little synopsis about what Mosgovzilla is going to be about?
I don't want to give too much away.
Well, just like a little something, an elevator pitch.
Mosgov, initially, you know, born in Russia.
Yes.
Born in St. Petersburg, Florida.
Right.
Not Russia. You know what I mean.
I know.
You know what I mean. This movie, part comedy, Bill, because Mosgov funny.
I agree. You are funny.
Action comedy. People like.
There are some people that don't think you're funny or this interaction's funny, though.
Those people are dicks. I don't care what they think, Bill.
Okay.
This not for them, for Moscow.
It's for Moscow.
Soon to be Moscovzilla.
Mm-hmm.
So Moscow, here is elevator pitch, as you call it. Here's a story, Bill. Moscow, walking too close to Chernobyl one day.
Mm-hmm.
Just taking a hike. Walk too close to Chernobyl. Trips on rock. That turns out to be radioactive rock. Moskov grows hugely, Bill. Huge.
Okay.
Even taller than... Think about this. Moskov even taller than Moskov is now.
That's really tall. You're already like 7 foot four.
I'm already 7 foot four. Then I grow into a giant monster. But I still look like Moskov.
So you're just a giant version of Moskov.
I am Moskovzilla.
Moskovzilla. And now do you, like, attack cities and, like... I mean, are you going to do the destruction that these monsters do?
Yes. I only attack cities who cut me from their basketball teams.
That's a lot of cities. That's most cities.
I will be doing a lot of destruction, Bill. I will wipe Charlotte off the map.
They're gone.
Orlando, no more. Sorry, Cleveland. That's why I tell you first, Bill.
Well, technically, you did not get cut by the Cavaliers. You signed with the Lakers. So we didn't cut you. We just let your contract expire, and then you signed with the Lakers, and the Lakers traded you to the Nets, and then... You went to the Hornets and then Orlando.
Bill, you just saved the entire city of Cleveland, Ohio.
I did it! I know how to stop Mazgazilla!
You just saved the whole city. And you reminded me that I played for Brooklyn. I forgot. So I will destroy Brooklyn. And I will destroy Orlando. Here comes Mazgazilla. Action comedy. It's going to be action comedy.
Well, that's exciting. I can't wait. Do you have a release date set?
Yes.
What is it?
It's next Saturday.
That's very soon.
That's when I get my release.
And that's
my weekly massage appointment. Oh, you mean the movie?
The movie, not when you get your release. Oh,
sorry.
Is there going to be any sort of sex scene in the, you know, in this Godzilla or the Mazgovzilla movie?
Yes.
Is it going to be like a giant lady? Like a...
No. Mazgovzilla will be humping a football stadium. Looks so sexy. I haven't figured that out yet. Action comedy. I didn't say anything about the romance.
I just thought maybe... You put a little something in there, a little love interest or something.
I know you look at Mozgov and think, what a hunk. But I'm focused on the... So I want to tell you first, Bill, about the Mozgovzilla.
Well, I appreciate you giving us the exclusive.
All right, and you saved Cleveland.
Yes, I'm happy to do so.
You were like that fish that saved Pittsburgh one time.
Yeah.
Yes. All right, Bill, I'll talk to you later.
All right, bye-bye.
Mozgov 2024.
All right.
I love you.
I love you too, buddy.
Talk to you later.
Okay, talk to you later. Bye-bye.
You hang up first.
I tried to.
Yeah, well, okay. Whatevs.
I saved Cleveland.
You did. You saved Cleveland, Ohio.
I am a hero.
Amazing.
I've told you guys many times that I'm a hero.
Hero.
Done a bunch of heroic things.
Yes, but the examples you've given us of your heroism were called into question almost immediately. So this one, at least, is legitimate. This one we can go, yes, absolutely. Other times you've told us you were a hero involved, like, doing paperwork or something.
Nah, good stepdads are always heroes.
But he didn't call himself a hero for that.
But I'm saying that.
I appreciate that.
I'm talking
about the examples he's given us. He said, I'm a hero because I, like, put air in my tires or something.
Not in my tires. I'm always doing something for someone else when I'm doing my heroic things. What is the last heroic thing? Maybe the customers can text you. I feel like I did.
A
few weeks ago when it was still snowy, it's snowy again, but when it was like that real bad snow, I pushed a car that was just stuck. I don't even think I mentioned that one.
Nope.
That was just regular. Because I don't like to tell you all my heroic moments.
You got
to
save some for the autobiography.
Yeah, that's right.
I have done nothing heroic for anyone ever.
Why is that? You just haven't had the opportunity or what?
I think I've had opportunities. I think I should pass them up.
So you've actively avoided doing things for other people.
Well,
I mean, you could really...
It's my own insecurities. Like, I'll
say, why would you be insecure about helping someone? That's a cop-out.
I remember what it was.
You help someone get out of the snow?
Yeah, I help someone get out of the snow. Yeah. I always do that. If I see someone stuck in, like, a driveway, I'll just go up and, like, give them a little push. It doesn't take much to do
this
that.
This is the Moz Godzilla screen, yeah. By the way.
That sounds terrible. I found that ID for that person, and I walked it back to their building and dropped it off. I think that was when I was praising my own heroic actions, mm-hmm. And Mary was being kind of...
She was downplaying it.
What? She wasn't even downplaying it. She just was saying it wasn't really heroic.
She was being dismissive.
Yeah.
Well, okay. First of all, I'm never dismissive, so that that argument can be thrown out.
You just dismissed what I said.
I did not. That's where you're wrong.
Oh.
I returned someone's watch the other day. It was like a smartwatch.
Oh, good for you!
But not so smart that they couldn't keep track of it.
Well, it was a smartwatch. I was able to go into their contacts, and one of their like emergency contacts was their husband, and I called their husband, and I was like, hey, I found this watch.
Where did you find it?
Here. It was in the lobby.
Oh.
Yeah, and I called them, and she was a... she worked for like a catering company, so she was dropping off food somewhere in the building, lost her watch in the lobby, and she drove back up and got it.
Did she know she lost it? Or
she did.
Okay.
But
wonder how that could slip off your wrist and you wouldn't know it.
I was guessing if she was carrying like boxes,
yeah.
Like a food, she was trying to maneuver something, but...
There was a time that someone bought food for me, and then when I got up to like the register, the person said, your food's been paid for, and handed me a card, and it said, I paid it forward, so now it's your turn, and then I just never did.
What, bitch?
He's
the guy who breaks the line at Starbucks.
Do you know that I don't care?
Oh, I'll do that
the
for
guy before
time.
You.
And then, like, there's been cars that have been broken down on the side of the road, and they're, like, waving down, and I'm like, I'm not stopping.
You're not going to be helpful
in
that situation.
Exactly,
I'm not
going to
be helpful.
Yeah.
There have been times people are like, hey, can I get a jump? I'm like, nope, I'm late, and I don't have anywhere to go.
Do you know how to jump a car?
No.
Well, then why would you stop to
but
help?
I'm sure they probably had jumper cables and everything. It's just, I don't, like...
He
doesn't
want to
be helpful.
It's not that I don't want to be helpful. It's just...
That you don't want to.
Yeah, I guess I don't want to be helpful.
But why is that?
I don't know. It's a tick. I don't know.
No, not a tick. It's a cop-out. Why don't you want to help somebody? If you're right there, this is not somebody going, hey, could you pick me up at the Charlotte airport? You know, that I get. You know, hey, next Friday morning, could you take me to the doctor and wait in the lobby while I'm there? Somebody's like, hey... Do you have jumper cables? And you go, no. Even though you know you do. Or they want to use your car to jump their car. And you go, no. Why wouldn't you help?
I don't know. It was a reflex. I instinctively said no.
Is to not help.
My reflex was just sorry. Like, immediately. And I didn't even think about it. That was the first response was no. Rather than yes. And I'm trying to do better, perhaps because I know if it were me, I'd be like, doesn't anybody want to help me? I would almost expect my common man to help me. But when it comes to me, I'm like, I don't want to be bothered. And I hate that
part.
So
you'd like other people to help you, but you don't reciprocate.
I just think if someone didn't help me, I would be like, oh, that was kind of mean. But then I do it to other people, and I'm just like, that's just the way I am.
The kind of guy that doesn't even have the goddamn common courtesy to give you a reach around.
Oh, I'm very... gracious in that aspect, but much like anything else in life, not so much.
See, I don't help with stuff like that, not only because I don't know how, but if someone's like, hey, just let me use your car to jump mine, I am afraid of being murdered or lured.
I get that. Like, helping a stranger,
too.
Especially like on the side of a road,
yeah,
like, I don't stop
that.
To like, help people on the side of the road, but if like I'm near a place where people are doing that and there's people around, like, I've helped people in this parking lot before.
Well, in this parking lot, it would almost be different, but I was at at a Hood gas station, and
in that case, you did the right thing, I think.
But, and I reflexively said no, because there's always people out there asking, you know, for money and stuff like that, and his car was broke down. I will say it was, like, broke down at the pump. But
smoking, the guy's on fire.
It wasn't like that, he just needed a jump, but I'm like... no. Sorry. I gotta go somewhere. I gotta be at work. I think that's what I told him. He's like, I understand.
Oh, listen, if nothing else, Pound Cake's a product of his environment, and he's just adhering to the Alan Cox Show mission statement.
Oh.
And what's number one in the mission statement?
Never help anyone.
Never help anyone. That's right.
And I want to change that part of me.
Like, now, what's number eight on the mission statement?
Always help everyone.
No one needs extra vulva.
Well, okay. Sure.
Alan, my sister got dirt delivered yesterday, and the guy delivering it dropped his bag of meth.
What is
Did you return it? Were you a hero?
Sir, you dropped your methamphetamine. You're going to need that.
Sir, if you're going to crash later.
A lot more dirt.
He took a page out of 8-year-old Alan's book. You know, hey, bag Beth, of uppers.
You dropped your meth.
Yeah. Okay, so you reflexively aren't interested in helping people.
I feel like if I think about it, I would do it because I'm like, I would want somebody to do it. Oh, I know one time.
But you think you think about it each time.
No, I don't. I reflexively said no, and then I drove away, and I was like, I probably should have helped the guy.
But you could have turned around.
But I didn't.
So that's when you thought about it.
But there was one time I was driving on my way to this show. I think I said it on the show before. I was driving on my way to this show. I was on like Route 8. Or 77, whatever, it goes through Akron. And there was a guy that I saw the accident happen. It was behind me. I saw the accident happen. He crashed into a mound of snow, and he hit the barricade. And I was like, I should probably help that guy. He looked like he hit the steering wheel pretty hard. I'm just going to go check on him. So, like, I was, like...
Oh, I remember that, because you came in, you were shook.
Yeah, yeah, because I saw the guy, and so I stopped like a quarter of the way down. I'm like, I have to park my car on the side of the road, which is really dangerous, and then walk, which is even more dangerous, just to check on the guy. And other cars are doing it too. So I was like, if I don't do this and he's dead, I'm gonna feel like a dick because I'll read about it in the newspaper and know that I saw it. And he was there.
So you put a lot of helping into one big thing.
Yeah. Okay. So. I can sleep well tonight. All right. Yeah, I did.
I was trying to help him do pound cake math on that, you know? So 100 times I didn't help, but this one time I helped a lot.
He wasn't even dead. Like,
were you mad that he wasn't dead?
Well, I thought you ain't even dead, bitch.
Well, it's not even the fact that he wasn't dead. They think he was drunk because he hit the steering wheel and he was unresponsive when they were, like, tapping on the car. And he was, like, mumbling and he had, like, blood on his face. And the guy that was knocking on the window, he's like, I think he's drunk. I was like, he was drinking and driving. I don't have time for this. I got to be to work. And, like, I waited till the ambulance came, and then the ambulance came. I was like, well, my job here is done. I'm a good person. And I got in my car and drove away.
We tried to reach out to the man who died in this pursuit. They were unavailable for comment.
So you said, my job here is done.
I'm not a paramedic.
I understand.
I was one of the first cars to stop.
You were first on the scene.
But there were people.
First responder.
There were people that were behind me that also stopped. So I was like, I'm already out of the car. I'm already walking and it's freezing cold. So I was like, I might as well just see, you know. I've never been to a car accident site before, and I watched it in real time. I saw him hit the barricade. And it was wild. So I was like, I'm going to make sure he's okay, or at least wait till the blah, 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 police get here. And I was like, I got to merge back onto the highway at high speeds, and this is ridiculous.
I didn't stop.
You know, yeah. Now,
cause I'm not even trying to merge, bitch.
Because there's no merge.
I know, but it's better to merge at high speeds than at low speeds.
But I was...
I got to merge at 5 miles an hour.
Not when you have, like,
the... He causes five other crashes behind.
You have the strips on the side of the road.
So I know.
It was, yeah. All that for trying to be a good person. It was a lie.
Hey, I'm trying to get over this. Hey, come on. Sir, speed up. Just please speed up.
Knowing I couldn't help.
Yes, Mary?
Oh, no. It's not important.
Oh, please. Don't be so dismissive.
I was driving through the middle of the country. I don't even remember what state I was in.
Doesn't matter. Middle of the country. Drive over country.
Super, super snowy.
Yeah.
And I watched someone kind of do a similar thing where they like started to swerve and then went into a ditch.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I don't know what to do. It's freezing outside. It's all the snow. So I just called 911 and kept driving. So
that's fine.
I called them and I was like, I'm going westbound on this highway.
I'm at mile marker 170. Exactly. Yeah, that's doing something.
Yeah.
I
wasn't about to get out. And then I'm like, watch me get stuck in this
ditch. Right, because that's the problem is you get stuck.
Yeah, Mary, I got out of my car and checked on the guy.
It wasn't snowing, and you weren't alone in the middle of the country.
It was snowy. It wasn't snowing at that particular time, but he hit like a mound. He was swerving on the side of the road, and there was a mound of shoveled snow, and he hit that.
Shoveled on the highway.
So when people.
No, I'm sorry.
So.
I just like the idea of a guy with a shovel.
He's like, oh, I should have got one of those ergonomic ones with the front handle on it. Oh, God.
Yeah.
So when people started to crowd around, did you announce to everyone that the guy was drunk?
I didn't know he was drunk. Someone knocked on the window, and when he was mumbling, I thought he just had, you know, like, aftershock from getting into a car
accident. He might have.
And the guy, I don't know if the guy smelled alcohol on him, because he didn't open the door. So I think the guy, like, I forget if he broke it or he just jimmied it and opened it. And he was like, I think this guy's drunk. And he was like, rrr, rrr. I'm like, he literally just had his head inside of his steering wheel. And I don't think I would speak normal either.
He had his head in the steering wheel.
Like, he had a streak of
blood. He's got a collar around him. And...
Could you see Cody, like, waving traffic on? Like, Tito's, keep going.
And that, but he hit him out of snow and then went over it and then hit the barricade, too. And the car just, I'd never seen a car. Like, was flying at 60 miles per hour and then just immediately stop.
Yeah.
Like, the force of that was just, I was like, oh my gosh, this guy's dead. But he was fine. He ain't dead.
He was fine. He's bloody. The steering wheel is around his neck. And Bobby goes, he's drunk.
And the guy's
drunk.
He might have been. Who knows?
I would have loved if he would have grabbed it like, I'm not drunk. A-hole.
Huh. Well, okay, so, but at least you pulled over.
You pulled over, but you still don't pay it forward when somebody buys you stuff at, like, a drive-thru.
You can't go to him for consistency. He will tell you that. It's a fool who looks for logic in the heart of pound cake.
I also don't do that. Like, I'll pay for something for somebody once in a while, but I don't do the whole card thing where I make it their responsibility to pay for it to someone else.
He was like, this was your my good deed of the day. Make yours. I'm like,
yeah, don't
I'm
bring
not
me into your
that.
Good deed, bro. Yeah. Well, you don't make me piggyback on your good deed. Is there any chance that the guy could have been mumbling because he had knocked all of his teeth out on the steering wheel?
I'm his sure. Tongue off?
Yeah, he swallowed half of his teeth.
He was a heavier guy. Like, I don't. He just had a streak of blood.
Streak of blood.
The last time I did...
like Chet Hayes.
The last time I did one of those, like, pay it forward in a Starbucks line, it was when I broke my quarantine dry spell. I went and got Starbucks the next morning, and I was in such a good mood. I was like, you know what? You give me that guy's behind me, too. I'll go ahead and pay for his. I was like, just on top of the world.
What's he want? Orange cranberry muffin? That one's on me.
Yeah, and throw in a scone. Maybe a cake pop.
Throw in a scone. There you go. Cake pop. It's just frosted dough. Delicious.
The scam of all scams.
What is?
A cake pop, because it's such a little tiny thing, and they charge like $3 for
but
it.
But it's a solid ball of dough.
Because they're
cake.
Good.
Yeah.
Whatever,
oh,
man.
Oh, God. No, thank you.
You're above dough?
Yeah. No, I'm not above anything. I'm not eating a solid thing
cake
of dough yeah. uncooked.
He likes his cake not solid.
I like treats that might not potentially give me salmonella.
Our men and women in uniform.
I've been a lifelong fan, 20 years of military, combat, and I find your afternoon show is f***ing horrible.
Thanks. From the Alan Cox Show.
Horrible.
On 100.7 WMMS.
Some Trapped. You see Trapped is going on tour?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, they're kicking off a 3-city tour. They're going to be back home by Monday.
Hey, it's something.
Listen, they're testing the waters. Oh, to be in one of the lucky cities that gets a Trapped tour date. Guess what? You do. They're playing Pittsburgh and Cleveland, Ohio this weekend. Tomorrow night, they're going to be at the Craft House Stage, which is in Whitehall, PA, about 20 minutes south of downtown Pittsburgh, if memory serves. And then this Saturday night, Trapped Acoustic at the Odeon. Trapped stripped down to the essentials. An acoustic guitar, some percussion.
Do you have any Trapped Acoustic that we can hear?
Do not.
What about, like, maybe a contemporary or close to a contemporary, maybe like, Nickelback or Puddle of Mud doing an acoustic set, maybe a cover song, something like that?
Well, there are no contemporaries to Trapped, all right? There are only bands that are pretenders to the throne.
That wish there were.
I mean, Puddle of Mud, sure, acoustic. Listen, not everybody can kick it old school like that. So, Trapped, who really were in the news more for their frontman having his psychotic breaks on social media than anything else.
You can't find a headstrong acoustic?
No, I cannot. I'm sure there's one somewhere, but again, if you are a Trapped fan, and they're out there, this guy loves to tell you how many followers, how many streams they have. Loves to tell, in between praising former President Trump, he loves to tell people how many streams the band gets.
Ooh, there's one.
So if you thought, boy, Alan, I love Trapped, but not Plugged In, Trapped Acoustic Night is going to be on...
I'm sending you one right now.
So they're doing tomorrow night in Pittsburgh, Saturday in Cleveland, and then the only other date they have is the Token Lounge outside Detroit on August the 7th. So, you know, it's trying to fill in some gaps in the schedule, but if you're a Trapped fan, something to look forward to. Ooh, is this Headstrong Acoustic? Is that what you would like me to play here?
I want to hear it. See if they got the goods.
It is their biggest hit.
Yeah.
But when you unplug everything, that's really when the... Oh, this is from Will Rock. This is like a suburban Chicago radio station.
Sickling, sickling your head, contemplating everything you ever said. Now I see the truth, I got it down. A different motive in your eyes, and now I'm out. See you later. I see your fantasy.
Anyway,
I might go just because I want to see live music.
I don't hate his voice acoustic.
I don't hate it at all. Actually,
I just want to see live music.
First comment, the acoustic version nobody asked for. As a drummer, I have no interest in acoustic versions because I'm sitting there with a stupid cajon between my legs and tapping
brushes
on a bongo or something. Brushes, at least, are a little fun. There's some skill to that, but I mean, you're sitting there with a bongo between your legs. So, anywho.
What's wrong with a bongo?
Shut up, Bill!
I'm just wondering what's wrong with a bongo. I think it's a fine instrument.
Sounds a little pretentious to be talking down on bongos.
I want to play a whole kit, man. I don't want to be confined to one.
It's percussion.
Well, I can't use my hands.
No, I use my... You use your hands when you play.
You use the sticks. Play a drum kit with your hands, and then I'll be impressed.
Tommy Aldridge playing his cymbals with his hands. He used to do his whole drum solo with his hands. Unless you're talking about the bongo antelope. I mean, they're herbivorous, but other than that, I don't know what that has to do with your hands.
I'm just talking about a bongo drum.
Oh, not the
and
antelope.
And how it's a fine instrument to play.
Mm. And if you were a real drummer, you could play any percussion.
Not true.
It is true.
You still have to know how to play things.
I wrote the rules.
On percussion.
Yeah.
All right, then fine. I don't live up to Mary's assessments of whatever.
You've never seen my documentary, Drumming It Up with Mary?
I have not. No. 32 Notes of Fun, Mary Santoro.
Was that inspired by the movie Drumline?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So the band's going back out. They two original members are left, the singer and the bassist. They've been friends since Little League. So who knows if these guys are just kind of, I don't know. Who knows? The new Trapped album is called Shadow Work. And the singer says it's the best piece of music Trapped has put out and probably one of the top five albums that will ever exist for all of time.
Wow.
So obviously,
he's
still trying to troll people and, you know, he's having some fun with them. Perhaps he's never heard Physical Graffiti.
And who's that by?
The album came out in June. And he had fans were he said that they sold 4,000 copies the first week. Fans told him that there were only 600 copies sold, and that made him unhappy. So he spent the summer going back and forth, very confrontationally with fans. And then, of course, they played that Sturgis bike rally in South Dakota in the middle of they played
it was
that
like last summer.
Yeah,
right. Mm-hmm. Dang, about a year ago, bro. It's April.
Bro, it is April. It is April 1st, bro.
Yeah, bro.
It's been 4 months already. That's crazy.
Since when?
Since the year.
I was going to say, you know, qualify that there. It's been four months.
It's always been 4 months since something.
Yes, it's always been 4 months.
That is true.
Right.
I mean, we've started the fourth month. It's been 3 months, technically.
Whatever, dude. We're in our fourth month.
Alan, I know the singer is bonkers, but when you came back from break to that Trapped song, I went from 6 to midnight. Oh, that's fine.
One of their finer songs, too.
Hey, good for
six
you.
6 to midnight by Trapped is good.
Uh-huh. All right. Anywho, if you're a Trapped fan, and again, there are people who really like that band. They don't care what the lead singer thinks. And quite frankly, who really does care, right? It was just... They were an easy target, and people like pissing on him or whatever, but if you like him...
He liked going after people,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, of course, yeah. I mean, yeah. You're bored. Everybody was bored last year. So,
He did. He started before the lockdown, though. He was doing it
while. I mean, I remember talking about Trapped when we did a show from your house.
Yeah.
And that was at the very beginning of the
beginning.
Whole March. February,
yeah.
I feel like. So it was before everything.
Yeah. It couldn't have been February.
No, it wasn't February. It was March.
It was March? Yeah. So, so he's been doing that for
March
a minute.
Weather.
But if you like the band, they're playing tomorrow night, or Saturday night, rather. Hey, Stripper Scott.
Hey, everybody. You know, I can play a mean Guero if you ever need me to.
I know that you can.
So, I know that, I guess, virtue signaling is a bad thing, even though helping people is a good thing, but when you tell people that you help people, it's a bad thing somehow, but I figured... I throw in just because apparently the public view of me is negative, but whatever. I got two quick stories if you want to hear me helping motorists broken down on the side of the road.
Of course I do.
This is definitely how you get people on your side.
Right. Go ahead. What do you care what the public thinks, Scott? Really? You're living your life. You're doing your thing. You're playing your gyro. Who cares, right?
Yeah. But, you know, because I've been the guy on the side of the road with, you know, nothing to help me, and then someone's helped me, so I, you know, pay it forward. One time on the bridge right here, the, you know, 480 bridge, I was going home, and I think it was raining even, and right when I'm getting off the ramp, there's a car broke down, so I'm like, well, I gotta get off, go back around, get off the next exit the opposite way, come back around, and then I can pull over, and here's a young guy and his a girl in the car with a baby, I think, and like a bunch of stuff. I don't know if they were moving or maybe they were just hoarders. I don't know. But he had a spare, but he didn't have a jack. So I'm, you know, helping to get my jack out, and I was able to help him change the tire. But the best part is,
let me get your jack off, sir. He had a spare and no jack?
Yeah, I guess.
All right.
If I remember correctly. Mm. But so I helped change the tire, because, you know, I changed tires before, right? And the best part is, at one point, a cop pulled up, and instead of, you know, shooting us or whatever, they just put the lights on so that and flares out so that people wouldn't run into us, because we're on the bridge, and people are going past 70 miles an hour, and it's kind of scary. It's not so bad doing it, like, in a shop, but when you're on the side of the road, and cars are zipping by,
yeah,
and you have, like,
fun.
3 feet to work with, it's not the best. And the other time was... Now, Bill can recommend, I don't know if I told Bill this, but it was actually going to one of his appearances out in Medina, which is long stretches of road between exits. Same thing. I saw someone pulled over. They had to go like 5 miles up to get off, turn around, go 10 miles the other way, and get back on and go 5 miles back. They just ran out of gas. Luckily, I have a gas can, so I go get some gas, repeat, you know, 20-mile round trip. So I can get these kids, again, it's a young couple.
Right, and then he was late to my appearance, which, I mean, I appreciate you helping that young couple.
Was
but
it worth it?
I was sitting there waiting for Stripper Scott to get there, and he shows up, and I'm like, well, he's going to tell me stories.
Safe to say his priorities are skewed.
Mm-hmm. I got a prize wheel, and it's got no spinner.
Sorry about that. But hey, the kids got home because it was funny because this time they called AAA and the guy said, no, it's okay, man. We have to hit the wrong way.
Thank you, Scott.
I zoned out on that one either. What did he say?
He's a good Samaritan.
Okay.
I don't think the perception is that Scott's a bad person.
No, absolutely not. Just, he's an odd guy.
Yeah.
an odd duck. And that doesn't make you a bad person.
Mismanagement of funds, but...
Right. Not even that. It's his money. I mean, you know.
Right, but when he's got no money to do...
Stimulating the economy and stimulating himself.
Yeah, boy's got no money to do anything else. That's, right. I think he's aware of it.
Though. Yes. Yeah. When he's constantly in the red...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is.
How do you go into debt for paying?
Not even on the 28th day of the month.
What do you tell your accountant?
You think he has an accountant?
He's an accountant?
Please, I mean, he probably has money. Probably has Russian mobsters trying to find out where he lives. He what?
I mean,
I don't know what kind of money he makes, but
he's
I know.
Welder, right?
Probably machinist. Yeah.
Machinist, right? But I'm just saying that the stories he has told have made it pretty clear that his proclivities. Toward working girls have not been financially sound for him.
This chick is like $3,000 an hour, but it's okay.
Man, that better be worth it.
If you're going to do it, man, I mean, I guess spend that money, but I would think, man, you know, would you rather spend all your cash on a 10 or like 5 2s for the same amount of money? Yeah, really?
Well, I don't know. I'm not a guy. I can't answer that. I have no idea.
I think if you're him, you go for quality, quantity, not quality.
I think he likes to go for the quality.
He does, clearly does.
But
I'm just saying, play to your strengths.
But the thing is, that quality, is it really making him happy? I think what he'd really like is to just be loved.
Yeah.
Hmm.
But you know where that's got to start, Scott? You got to love yourself.
On the inside.
Mm-hmm. Pull over on the side of the road and help yourself. But not like that.
Pull over on the side of the road of your heart.
Yeah.
All right, well, there you go.
And get a haircut.
Maybe refill your tank of emotions.
Refill your tank of emotions. No, you should always operate on a half-empty tank of emotions,
no,
all right?
No.
That's the easiest, yes.
My tank runneth over. You guys can have some
Yeah, right. Run on your half-empty tank of emotions. That's the way to do it. I've told you this. Emotions are the lowest form of consciousness.
Oh, geez.
If you can get yourself around the only state that we can learn... and harmonize and understand each other is with the absence of emotion.
No, that's incorrect.
It's not incorrect.
It is incorrect.
Conscious love is not an emotion.
What is it?
It's a merging of yourself with love can't exist in an emotional state. If you want to merge with other people.
It's a second class emotion.
Emotions are all tied to ego, and you got to get
not
rid of
all
that.
Of them.
Yes, every emotion's tied to ego.
No.
It is.
I disagree.
Second.
Go ahead. It's still true.
Tina Turner already classified it. Love is a second class emotion.
What's love got to do with it?
Yeah.
I thought that was, it's a second-hand emotion.
Second-hand, second-class, whatever.
Second-hand emotion.
Second-hand emotion, yeah. But it's
so
still...
What exactly does that mean?
It means it sucks.
What's second-hand? So it's not your emotion, it's someone else's?
It's a handy-down.
It's a handy-down.
Because I think it's second-hand smoke.
You get it through a thrift store. Mm-hmm. Most love comes from thrift stores.
I mean, who needs a heart when a heart can be broken?
Tin Man.
The Tin Man didn't need... Tell you what.
He didn't need it. When he went to the wizard, he said he didn't need a heart.
He gave him a clock.
Yeah, give him a clock.
I gotta bury
that thing.
How is he walking around with no heart?
Because he's made out of tin. He doesn't have blood.
No, but still, how is he even sentient?
He doesn't need it. He's tin.
Magic.
He doesn't have veins and vessels.
Understood.
He's just a hollow shell.
Why did he want
a
heart?
To feel.
Because he doesn't have nerves. You just said he doesn't have nerves.
Emotions are important.
No.
Yes.
But he had emotions the whole time.
He had emotions the whole time.
He was mad when the witch was there and stuff. Yeah.
So in Billy Squire, emotions in motion, what does he mean by that?
That he means I gotta get this career back on track. Screwed up doing that video where I'm rolling around in the pink tank top.
That was too much motion.
Yeah.
What about those... Who did that emotion?
You know, as expertly as you've recreated that song, I still can't place it. Emotion.
Are you saying sweet emotion?
Is it sweet emotion?
Oh, yes.
It's
sweet
not just emotion.
Yeah. You're talking about Aerosmith's Sweet Emotion.
Oh, okay. Those are the same Boulderhead guys. Boulderhead!
Is this what you're thinking of?
Yes, I didn't know there were two words there.
Use that sweet emotion.
I thought it was emo. Hold on, listen to it. You'll see.
Sweet emo. This one?
Yeah. Hush.
I'll take you backstage. You can drink a my glass. Yeah.
There's no tea in there.
Yeah, there. Great song. Great song. Toys in the Attic, I think.
Alan is wrong. Emotions aren't pride.
I didn't say pride. I said ego.
No, 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 no,
same thing.
No, they are not ego. No, they are not.
Was therapy today or yesterday?
Tomorrow.
She's getting the jump on him. Yeah, all right.
I feel like most of the... When you're this silly, it's usually a post-therapy day.
No, but I was actually thinking about how I don't have anything to talk about tomorrow in therapy.
What about all the stuff we talked about earlier in the week?
I'm sure something will come up.
Yeah.
I've heard the trust issues.
Trust issues trying to help trolls. Why I don't... No, let's go.
Some sweat hog mama with a face like a gent. Yeah. 1975. This one comes out.
Good year.
Sure. Okay, I've got to take a break. You think about what you're going to say in therapy tomorrow. Yeah.
You know, my boss thinks...
What's that?
It's like, you know, my boss thinks that emotions are all rooted in ego. What do you think?
Throw that at him.
It might.
See what he says.
I will.
Yeah, I bet he agrees with me.
Now we come to a very important section. One that everyone dreads, or is embarrassed by, or tries to avoid completely.
The Alan Cox Show on 100.7 WMMS.
Yeah! 216-578-1007. Or 800-348-1007. 35192 on a text. Oh, you can do that. AlanCoxShow.com. Got the... latest Pound Take podcast. Those drop on Thursdays. Those are up there for you. New episode of the Bill Squire Show. Those happen Saturday morning live at 11.
Well, I'm actually doing them a little different this couple last, but it still airs on YouTube at 11 a.m. live, but I put up the audio on Friday morning. Just a little marketing thing that I'm trying that I think.
So when do you do it?
I recorded it last night because I've been having my buddy AJ sit in as my co-host for the past 4 or 5 weeks, and I think we've really figured out what the show is now, and I really like what we're doing. And like,
so the new one's in the can already.
It's in the can. It'll be, the audio will be up tomorrow, the video will be up on Saturday, and I might just start doing it like on Fridays. Should I just do it on Fridays? I'll just do it on Fridays. I'll put it all up tomorrow. But it's good. It's really good. I really like
what
we're doing.
He just had a little conversation with himself. Okay,
I like what we're doing. And last week we talked about R-rated movie or movies that have an R-rated cut, possibly, like Mrs. Doubtfire. And we went over some that we would like to see a R-rated version of. And then this week we are... What did we talk about last night? It was... Oh, our Mount Rushmore of weird-looking celebrities.
And who is on yours?
You'll have to listen to the podcast and find out. No, if I spoilers. Give it away here.
I didn't ask for every name. It's called a tease, Bill.
All right, I'll give you one.
Give me one name.
I'll give you one. Ron Perlman.
Okay.
He's got a big head.
You mentioned him earlier in the week.
Because he has a big head.
Big head. By the way, people are telling me Marosmith is their new favorite band.
Better than Meritalica.
Meritalica was a little tough, but Marosmith is... You know this song. Do you know the name of the song?
Walk This Way.
Walk This Way.
Hey, diddle diddle, there's right. Cat and the fiddle.
It exposed them to an entirely different audience when they did the song with Run DMC.
I had a cheerleading tryout to this song 1 year.
Of course you did. Of course you did.
Walk this way.
Cheer this way. Right. All right, well, there
the
you
nice
go.
The nice thing about Meryl Smith is that I also do all of the instruments, but with my voice.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's the guitar.
That's the guitar.
Right. Mary, the human mouth band.
What that mouth do?
Right.
It plays jams. Yeah. Well, that's the rhythm right there.
Blues.
How has Mouth Do not become like an OnlyFans page?
What do you mean?
I feel like that should be someone's tag.
It might.
Mouth Do.
Did you look it up?
I don't know enough about it.
I don't. I'm not on OnlyFans. I subscribe to one person.
So then you have an OnlyFans, so you can look it up.
I have it, but I haven't logged on. I don't know my password or anything like that anymore.
I bet he does.
This is another guy just doing everything with his mouth. So you're in competition with... He's dead now, but you're in competition with Shubby Taylor. The human horn. I'd like to hear Mayor Talica or Mero Smith cover that song.
If I created an OnlyFans page, I would take a totally different route. It would be called Lonely Fans, and it'd just be pictures of me sleeping in various positions.
Pictures.
People would pay top dollar for it.
Yeah, start it up. Mm-hmm. Start Lonely Fans.
Lonely Fans, yeah. Me and my body pillow, my torso pillow.
It should be
my body parts.
It should be actual fans whose cords are just short of plugging in. So they can't actually work. They're lonely fans. They can't all be winners, guys.
They might be, though.
You know?
You never know. Maybe that one just, that's a little sleeper one. Like later someone be like, that was really funny.
Yeah, those are the ones I get texts about. People tag me on Twitter and be like, man, I love that ground cake line from when I said he was going to be dead, he'd be ground cake. Nobody laughed.
Hey, just because you didn't do anything in the room doesn't mean that it didn't kill out there.
For the masses.
Right.
It's for out there.
I get texts for myself all the time. Like, yeah, that was a good one, Bill.
You text yourself?
April
Fools.
Sometimes
you guys don't appreciate my stuff, so I have to be my own fan.
Cheering section.
I have to cuss myself out for my alarm clock. Like, this is the third time hitting snooze. You bitch, get up.
Dude, you want to know something? Promise you this. After my dad died, I had alarms that were all labeled like that. That was like, you're wasting time. You have things to do. You have goals. Yes. So I changed my alarms that say like, eggs are soon. And then it said, hit snooze if you want. And then the last one says, if it's that bad, you can get back into bed. And since doing that, I have snoozed far less. I will tell you that. Because I'm like, oh, eggs are soon. I should get up.
What does that mean?
That means I get to have eggs soon.
Eggs are soon.
Mm-hmm.
Not time for eggs.
No, eggs are soon.
Eggs are soon.
Yes.
I like a little turn of phrase. I like that. Okay.
Yeah, I used to have an alarm clock.
Make them encouraging.
I think this was before you got on the show, but I had a pee-popping alarm clock. Like, it was Sound the Alarm by Nicki Minaj. That's what I used to wake up to every morning.
Why?
Because it was like...
Because he's very literal.
There was this
it was pound the alarm.
Pound the alarm.
There was on one of my flip phones, there was an alarm that would go like, it would go like, good morning, bow, 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 bow. It was like the loudest, worst alarm that you could pick, and I had that for a while.
Hmm.
Yeah, Sound the Alarm is just like an anthem. Like, people hear that, my roommates are like, what is that? I thought it was like The Purge. I'm like, no, sorry.
The Purge.
Oh, that Nicki Minaj boy. I really feel like she's taking a back seat lately.
Yeah.
I'd like to see that reverse its course a little bit.
She a mama now.
Who cares?
She's got a...
Everybody's a mama now.
Sex offender husband. She's got things to do.
She's just trying to mind her business.
She does have a full dance card, doesn't she? Sex offender husband. Yeah.
I wanted to say, I was like, it wasn't forceful, but it was.
Yeah, it was
we established that.
Alan Cox Show After Hours line. You can always hit us up there any time of day. 216-986-8903.
Hi, my name is Polyamorous Mariah, and I am a tree hugger, a cyclist, a Buddhist. I mean, I'm just everything that you may probably haven't heard. I was arrested for...
That I haven't heard of? Is that what they said?
Mm-hmm.
I've never heard of cyclists or Buddhists?
Or yeah, polyamorous. Like
we've met this person before, but anyway.
Who is this? Do we know this person?
Sounds similar to other callers that we have.
But, oh, is this a goof?
I don't know. Let's keep listening.
You haven't heard. I was arrested for talking to a tree and hugging a tree. And so I almost got murdered by the police for that. So I heard this story about the police. Court records are often slanted towards the opinions of the police, and the courts are naturally biased towards the police in general. I mean, just look at George Floyd, how they're painting him as a, how they're painting him demonically. So...
Did they call us on purpose?
How they're painting him thematically? What did they say?
Demonically.
Painting George Floyd demonically. That's an odd adjective. Okay, anyway, thanks. Whoever that was. Is that a, are you saying that's a goof?
At first, I thought it sounded like it was the Mary Santorum.
No, I don't think so.
But they're doing a different character. But I don't
know. Say my voice is a character.
Huh. Okay.
Got arrested for hugging a tree.
But then after listening for a little bit, I was like, I don't know.
Speaking of mouth-do, by the way, there is a new tourism slogan in South Australia. Go down south with your mouth. You know, everybody is, this is going to be a boom year probably for tourism bureaus around the world as more people feel more comfortable traveling, and especially in countries where they've wiped out the coronavirus. You know, they've been very careful in places like New Zealand.
That's impossible. You can't wipe it out. You can't wipe out a hoax.
Bill, you're never going to believe this. There are places in the world where they have done just that.
How?
They've told people.
Probably through prayer, right?
They sat people down, thoughts and prayers.
Ah, it's a double whammy.
They sat people down and they said, despite what you've heard, this is not fake. And the people in these countries said, prove it. And they said, here's some science. And the people in those countries said, okay, now, what would you like us to do to help our fellow countrymen and countrywomen? And they said, could you do this? So, and they said, absolutely.
So these scientists, these are people that they go on YouTube and they comment on Facebook, like respected scientists like that, right?
Correct. So go down south with your mouth is the new tourism ad. And... They're getting a lot of
it's
attention.
Got my attention.
Yeah, you've gotta get people's attention.
Your tongue yearns for a certain sensation. Your heart and soul flower through flavor. Is it time to bask in Australian bush, native to our southern lands? Is it time to discover a new zest for life and explore our hidden delights? It's time to go down south with your mouth.
Yeah. Didgeridoo Me was the other. This is for the Northern Territory in Australia. A few years ago, they got in a bit of trouble because their tagline was, see you in the NT. Northern Territories. But listen, that you got to get people paying attention.
Yeah.
Right? Before the pandemic hit, we were going to start up this huge new campaign with Destination Cleveland. We'd had meetings and all this kind of stuff, a whole new big thing, and then the whole thing was just completely obliterated because of the pandemic. But when these organizations get up and running again, they got to, you know, they have to reacquaint tourists with the amazing things in their areas.
The find world's PC. Butthole. Come on in.
I would say find PC in the CLE.
You think you're the tourist attraction here?
If he can make himself a tourist attraction, what will you do for that?
I'll float in Lake Erie.
On something?
What will you really do?
I mean, I could float in Lake Erie if y'all want me to.
Food is perceived to be the butthole of the world sometimes. Right?
So come to the butthole of the world and see Poundcake float.
I can pose on top of the Cleveland sign like a model. I don't know.
Just like everybody else who posts on Instagram and Twitter.
Like no model.
You have to get people in, Cody. You have to do something different.
Yeah, I got nothing.
You've got nothing.
Float was what he...
I'm going to go out there and float, which literally requires him to do nothing. He wants to do as little as possible.
Float Lake Erie.
To him, that will be interesting enough for people to pay attention to. What are you going to do? I'm going to do nothing on water.
Gather around, folks. I'm going to float on dirty water.
I would love to get sucked up.
Yeah, he wants to get sucked up.
By tide.
Yeah, those Lake Erie tides.
Oh. Some good surfing out there.
That does sound like it would have been like a tourism point 20 years ago, 30 years ago, when they were really trying to build Cleveland back up. And like, you can float in the water. It's buoyant.
Depends on what day.
It's not the Great Salt Lake, but right. It's still very...
it's a little more of a challenge, but that's why we wanted to see if you can do it.
That's right.
Are there sharks in Salt Lake? In the Salt Lake? Or no?
No, there aren't.
Okay.
Would there be sharks in a lake? Would be the first question.
Well, because it's salt water, and they have to exist in salt water. So I figured
oceans are different than salt water. Just being salt water doesn't make you an ocean. You need an ecosystem there that would support the life.
In Lake Erie, you're more likely to find a shark vacuum cleaner wash up than anything else. So there are freshwater sharks.
Okay.
But I don't. I have laid on top of the Great Salt Lake. And it is so literally thick with salt that you will lie on top of it.
Oh, wow.
Did your skin get all gross and dry afterwards?
You got to really get hydrated after. Yeah, it's like being in one of those isolation chambers, if you've ever done one of those pods. That water's heavily salted, too, so that you'll kind of lie there on top of it. You don't really need to worry about floating. You'll lie in it, you know.
Yeah.
But afterwards, you need to hydrate yourself.
I'm sure.
They tell you when you get out of the pod, they're
sucking
like, you
got to
drink a whole bunch of water or you'll have a pounding headache.
So did Jesus really walk on water or was there just salt in it and he was just standing there?
Well, the Dead Sea, right? Isn't that supposed to be, it had a bunch of salt on it?
Yeah.
Again, you can't walk on salt water. But
there are
Newtonian
fluids, and if he knew about those, he could have walked on
that. I was like, Jesus wasn't just posting up.
But I mean, you've got more surface area when you're lying down rather than when you're walking.
Or non-Newtonian, one of those. It's either Newtonian. I think it's non-Newtonian fluids, and it's just like cornstarch and water, and you mix it together, and then it becomes like this jello-y like substance. And if you go quickly, you can walk across it. But if you stand on it, you're gonna sink.
That's right. Constant viscosity.
I do
is
like
what you want.
Mm-hmm. I like the idea of freshwater sharks being a shark tank. Like spinoff, where they're only in the Great Lakes region, so they're just dealing with hillbillies. Like it's a chainsaw, but it'll also do your taxes.
What
exactly?
It's a chainsaw, but it'll also do your taxes.
Yeah.
All right.
Turbo hacks.
Right.
But like sharks don't go up rivers because like if you have like the Mississippi River. All like that.
No
river.
A shark would.
Let him explain.
Yeah, okay, go ahead. Sorry,
I'm just saying. If all waterways lead to some ocean, how come fish don't swim upstream, like sharks and
salmon
whales
do.
And stuff?
A shark would literally not be able to get to the Great Lakes.
Okay,
there'd just be because all along the way. I mean, like you've got locks and dams, and some of them are electrical. And,
okay,
you know, all along the way.
But the reason is. That they will stay in the places, like if they go into a salt or a freshwater area, they don't feel comfortable there.
Okay.
Because that they're not used to, they breathe salt water. They need salt water to survive.
Okay.
So.
And the Great Lakes are all very cold.
Yes.
So like.
But you can't, a shark's not going to be in the Gulf of Mexico and be like, let's go see this river and just see what happens. And they might hang out at the base of the river where everything's mixing, but they're not going to go upriver because instinctually they're not programmed that way.
Okay. That's why I was just curious. I was like, how is like all these major waterways, all of them lead to an ocean eventually and just take the dams and stuff out of it back in the day? No one just caught a shark just by a waterfall, you know? Well,
back in the day, I don't know what they did, but it's like those Asian carp. You know, those were invasive for a while. I don't know what the state of that is anymore, but for a while, everybody in this part of the country was flipping out because of the Asian carp was getting everywhere and eating everything. And
taking over, yeah.
They were big fish.
Didn't have any predators.
Just more anti-Asian violence going on right in the lakes.
If only
our own backyard
would have made it up.
bull sharks live and breed in rivers. That sounds like a bunch of bull shark to me.
There you go, pound cake. A bull shark.
Nailed it.
That's your thing.
A bull shark has made it all the way up the Mississippi River to Missouri before.
Missouri.
Missouri.
So that's a freshwater shark.
Hmm.
I imagine.
Maybe Jesus knew where all the rocks were, someone says. All right, there you go.
Bless you.
Gesundheit. Alan, there was an old 90s World Trade Center tourist pamphlet that said, the closest you'll get to heaven.
Was it the tallest building?
Depending on the day.
I guess so. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Alan. Hate the show.
What's going on?
Well, I watched Shark Week once, so I am now a shark expert.
More than me. I never watched Shark Week, so I'll avail myself of your wisdom.
Please help us, because I'm just speculating here. I think we need a real expert that knows what they're talking about.
Well, I'm here for you.
To educate.
So bull sharks can actually go in between freshwater and saltwater. So they'll actually swim up rivers in Florida a couple miles inward, actually.
Hybrid sharks, huh?
Yeah.
They have an inner spring coil, but then they're also surrounded by memory foam.
Mm-hmm.
So they're very comfortable. But they're probably but even given that, they're still confined to Florida once they get up there? Or?
I don't think they go too far inward. They have to have some mixture of salt water.
Inward?
They don't go too far inward.
Right. They don't want to get canceled.
Right. Boy, they sure are dropping a lot of N-words, those sharks. Jesus.
I heard they were racist nowadays.
Yes, those Jim Crow bull sharks.
Yeah, they're great whites.
Well, if it ain't great white, it ain't great right. Right. Okay, thank you, Chris.
Have a good one.
There you go. I don't know what we learned, but there you go. Bull sharks,
bull sharks in
rivers. Yeah. They're both.
Yeah, they're bi-sharksual.
They're pretty big bull sharks. Commonly found worldwide in warm, shallow waters, along coasts and in rivers. All right. Well, there you go. So
you did not know.
He always takes the information someone else gives as vindication for his own whatever.
But everyone
and I don't get it.
Everyone was scoffing at my question like it was stupid. It wasn't a stupid question. There are sharks.
No
that fly.
One was right, scoffing at your question.
You were presenting it like there's just sharks going like, well, here's a river. I might as there's millions of years
how
of
do you
evolution
know
that
what a shark thinks.
Into see an orca in the Mississippi.
Yeah. Well, that's a mammal.
An orca?
That's a whale.
That's not a shark?
No, orca is a killer whale.
Killer whale.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then I'm stupid too.
Listen,
me and you, Cody.
But you're right.
None of us are marine
you're not
biologists.
See it in the Mississippi.
Orca on the Mississippi. It was some of Hemingway's best work.
Those were the real drunk days.
It really was. There were a lot of punctuation, even more punctuation than normal. In those books. Alan, ask Mary about Shark Week. She's an expert once a month. I get it. Alan, I really feel like Pound Cake should wear a helmet at all times.
Maybe I should.
I don't think so. I think if you're really trying to get that hair
growing back, right? Yeah.
You don't want anything that's going to inhibit that. You don't want anything that's going to stop that forward march.
Also, but, what kind of helmet? There's so many helmets.
And also, I asked a question that actually made sense. So there are sharks that swim upriver. So
a little bit, yeah.
Then, no, not a little bit. There's some that swim upriver.
He wasn't, yeah. Bullshit.
According to our expert on the phone, he said there has to be some mixture of salt water.
Well, whatever. He can give me a helmet, and I'll smack him over the head with it.
Getting violent.
Yeah, really?
Miles Garrett over here. You're swinging helmets.
You okay?
I'm fine. Because I'm stupid. Try to call me stupid. Because I'm stupid.
That's you calling yourself stupid.
And now I must leave you as the Brady Bunch is on, and I find four of those children incredibly arousing. Get out of here.
Be careful of what you say. Be careful in every way. Be careful of what you do. Big Brother is watching you. Be circumspect and discreet. Stay light on your mental feet.
One slip and you know you're through. Big Brother is watching you. Conform with all directives. Remember, obedience pays. And when you watch that TV screen, remember it works both ways. You'll disappear in a wink. Unless you can double think, you'll vanish into the blue. Big Brother is watching you.